Say the show will go live
in Talk Radio.
4 seconds, 3 seconds.
Fucking believable. 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 Y'all know it, it's unbelievable, but here we are again, a new day. We're going to be hanging out. I don't know how any of this stuff works. I'm trying like 9 things right now. We're trying something on YouTube, but I don't think this is working on YouTube. Use a tool to record instantly via, see the details. Do you mean the load? Well, That's a shitty ass view that it's got there. Yeah, we'll be starting in just a second. I'm just looking at some stuff and I'm just wondering how this works. I wanna see if this crap works. I'm gonna see if this crap works. I'm just trying to see if this crap works. Got my man Tim Alexander joining the show tonight. Yeah. I'm sick of people sitting up here uploading shit. Man, they be killing me uploading shit that I got and re-uploading it. I'm going to talk about that when we get into the show. Because it's making me mad. People uploading shit that I've already uploaded. And then acting like they made it and shit. We all live. What was that? All right, y'all. We get like. Now I'm getting feedback. What is that?
It was good, man.
No much. Who is this? Hey, is there any way you can mute your mic? I'm on my show right now. You can watch it. We about to do my show. I was trying to see what this is, though. Well, what you need to do is go to ywmv.net. You'll get to see. I was just trying to see how this was to broadcast on here. But we're broadcasting my show live. We're about to go live with Tim Alexander. Don't know if you know who he is. He is the creator of Diary of a Tired Man, a Tired Black Man. We're about to go live right now. Whenever you hear the music play, we're going to be live on a live radio show, bro. So you can call in, watch it and everything. So just go to ywmv.net. Are you guys ready to go?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Throwback Thursday edition of the show. 8 p.m. Oh, wait a minute. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 4 p.m. West Coast edition of the show. I am your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. This is your world.
This is the July 26th edition of the show. I'm happy to be joined today by you guys. As always, call in, let yourself be known. The number 347-989-8316. Zero. I'm looking to have fun with you guys, and I'm hoping that you guys are looking to have fun with me as well. Come on, join the show. Tell your friends about it. We all having fun here. Speaking, talk to us at all times. I don't know what's going on. There's something called Google Plus, and it keeps popping up and going out. They've asked me to try it. I'm trying it. I don't like it because it's making a lot of noise, and I ain't really trying to hear that shit. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us on this July 26th edition of the show. If you weren't, if you missed, but you need you to have your head examined, you need to be beat up. You missed the show on Tuesday where we talked about what is a good man and a good woman. We got into that discussion and everybody had something to say about what a good man is and what a good woman is. There are a lot of people who just popped in. Welcome to you as well for joining the show. Anyway, we talked about what is a good man and what is a good woman. And what I learned was that a lot of people have no idea what a good man or a good woman is. They have what other people tell them they should think is a good man and a good woman, but no one really understands or knows what it means to be a good man or a good woman. And I had to break it down to people. I had to do just like MC Hammond, break it down. And when I broke it down, here's what I came up with. I let people know that a good man and a good woman are not people who you look at and think to yourself, okay, they fit this one generalized statement, this one generalized idea. No, it is not. A good man or a good woman is someone that makes you feel happy, someone that you are content with, someone that helps you grow and become what you consider a better person. A lot of you guys are with people that you think are good, not because you think they're good, not because you're happy with them, but because someone else tells you that this could be your idea or your ideal of what a good person. Now, good news, just look at it this small, simple. Are you a person with this person that you like? Are you happy with this person, the person you have become? Are you ashamed of who you are when you're with this person? If you can look back at yourself and like who you are, and like the direction of your life, then this is a good person to be. If you can't, then they are not. It is very simple. Got a message from someone named Erica who said, "I've been watching this all day." That is cool, Erica. Thank you so much. Somebody asked me, do I have any dogs? Somebody else asked me, said this is very funny. Somebody else said this is really cool. I saw your post on this channel on Twitter and Facebook. This is so cool. Thank you guys very much. I'm getting so many emails at the beginning of the show now. This is all right. I don't know why you guys are emailing me at the beginning of the show, but you can email me throughout the show, and I'll try to read to get to as many of them as possible. I thank all of you guys for joining me. I love it. On the show. And you got people just following me, getting on. This is the coolest thing about what I do is meeting with people. Break it down. Thank you very much, people. This is Your World, My Views. Of course, as I said, if you look at someone and you realize you're not as happy as you probably should be or could be because you're with that person, if this is how you feel, then that would let you know you should not be with that person. It's simple to me. I don't know why people make things so difficult. It seemed like it would be just something you just look at and say, okay, this person don't make me happy at all. So if I'm not happy, they don't help me grow. My personal growth has become retarded, stunted. Then I don't need to be with them. We got a lot of good questions we want to ask y'all tonight. And one of them is, of course, you guys know who my guest is, the writer, director, film producer, Mr. Tim Alexander is going to be on the show. And he wrote a note today, put it on his Facebook page. And I'm going to ask him about it when he comes on about it. But it made me think about something, because every time I talk about it, people look at me like I'm crazy. My girl sometimes look at me like I'm crazy. Now, I'm not close to my ex like we buddies or something. Like we pretty close by black folks' standards, though. And I want to talk about that. That's one of the questions we're going to ask tonight. If we're going to find out, is it okay to be close to your ex or be best friends with your ex or your child? Not even just your ex, because that ex shit is bullshit. We want to talk about your baby's mama or baby's daddy. Is it okay for you to be close with that person? Is it wrong for you to be with that person? That's the question I want to know, because honestly, them ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends and shit, that's a setup. When you close to your ex-boyfriends and your ex-girlfriends, that shit is a straight-up setup. That ain't going to work out for nobody. So I'm not talking about them. They're not somebody who I don't even think should be a part of this discussion. But the people I am talking about are people like, you know, the people you have kids with. So we're going to ask that question, and you guys can call in. The number is 347-989-8310. I don't know how this thing is working. What do you call it? I don't know what this is, but these people can jump in and they can join the chats, and it's great. Thank you guys for being able to join the chat. What you guys have to do is, you guys can go to yourworldmyviews.com, call in at 347-989-8310. Google, y'all are going to make me mad because I can't. These people's voices are coming back. And I don't know why it's coming back to where I can hear myself. So you need to stop them from doing that. Whatever it is, Google, I'm going to have to stop from using Google. They're supposed to be watching me, not listening to them. Anyway. How does this thing work anyway? Every 5 seconds is somebody popping in saying, what's up? Ooh, gee whiz. If you guys have it, since it's sponsoring me today, I'll use it. But I don't know how it's working. It's scaring me, actually, that these people from all over the world just keep jumping in and look like they saying what's up and shit. And it's scaring me because it's throwing me off. Y'all got to understand, it's all these screens around me, and I'm trying to make them all work. And it's throwing me off. But if you look at it this way, there are a lot of people when it comes to having children and being with and whatever, you have to look at these people and say, well, we did have children together. Why do we hate each other? But if you notice in the black community, it seems like you have to hate the person that you're in a relationship with. You have to hate the person that you used to be with. I don't know why you do. You just do. So hopefully what we'll be able to do with this, and I don't know how this thing works. This thing is like dinging me, and I mean, if people are jumping up in here. What is this thing? Can somebody tell me what this is? This Google Plus thingy? I don't know how it's working, but I mean, it seems to be fun, and everybody seems to be jumping in. What's up, Nicholas Vogelsang? What's up, Nick? I'm in the middle of a radio show. I don't know what this is myself, man.
What radio is this?
If you go to ywmv.net, the Y is in like your, and then world, the W is for world, and then the M is for my, and the V is for views. Just go to ywmv.net. When you go there, it's a show, and tonight's show is called Going From Bitter to Better. If you click on that headline, you'll be able to see different places where people are watching. They're joining in. They're being able to call in. They're chatting. Probably one of the main places where people are is a place called Livestream. I think it's the second one that you'll see when you get in there, the second option. Google Plus is asking us to try this during a live broadcast. So I don't know how this is going to work, but you are just now talking in a live broadcast, Nicholas. So I'm glad you could join us. What I would like you to do is sit back, relax, listen to what's going on, and at any time I just might bring you back in, Nicholas, and let you talk to my live audience, if that's okay with you.
Will do. Sounds good.
All right, good deal. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know who I am. Y'all know what this is. That was my man Nicholas. I don't know where he's from, but I would like to get to know a little bit of information about him a little later. This Google Plus thing is probably going to throw me off. But what we're going to do is we're going to go into a lot of the is it just me's and whatnot, and then we're going to come back with the topic of the day. And, oh, guys, you guys know what the topic of the day is. It's a good topic. Everybody wants to have an opinion on this. And you guys know that I wanted to know, well, there's a few things I wanted to know, but the biggest thing I want to know right now is, do you think it's okay to be close to your baby's mama? I guess that's about baby's daddy. Is it okay to be close to them? Because if being close to them is going to cause you a problem, then no, you shouldn't be. Now, we got to go into the is it just me, because this is it just me just bothered me a little bit. And it made me think of something. And, you know, I always talk about black issues. And everybody say, well, you always talk about black people. Black people. All you do is talk about black people and you put black people down and you mean the black people. Well, this is it just me might make some black people not as upset with me, because maybe they'll look at this and think, well, maybe he's not such a bad guy. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Is It Just Me, sponsored by Coke Zero. Looks like Coke, tastes like Coke. So much so that you can't tell the difference. But your body will be able to tell the difference because it has zero, count them, zero calories. Coke is zero. Just go to yourworldmybusiness.com or go to ywmv.net. Go and get you some Coke Zero. All right, y'all ready to get into it? Let's go. Is it just me? Or does it seem like nowadays our Caucasian brethren, sisterin, get real comfortable? Now, you know I did a report yesterday about the white lady who was a reporter in Virginia, and she put on Facebook that she was about to go to sleep with the window wide open. Now, I thought to myself, who the fuck would post this online? Well, as you guys noticed, the next day they found her dead and burned in her apartment. And I thought to myself, what the fuck? What were you thinking in the first place, bitch? Why would you tell somebody that your ass is about to sleep with the motherfucking window open? What is wrong with you? White people are too damn comfortable. That's why when you watch a fucking scary movie, you always see white people. You don't see no damn black people going downstairs talking about some, let me see what the fuck that is. You know what this is. This is Friday the 13th, part 29. It's Jason. He is downstairs, damn it. He is downstairs. That's why they can't get no black folks to play in that movie. He reads the script and like, I would never do this, man. This is bullshit. I'm not going downstairs. But you can't get a black man to do it. But white folks are doing it in real life. At first, I thought they were lying, but they're telling the truth. Yesterday, I was sitting outside, and I live in a pretty nice neighborhood, and my girl walked up to me and handed me a note. The note said, please don't park your car on the road, because if you park your car on the road, one of my kids might hit you. Well, it was a white lady that we have not spoken to since we moved into this neighborhood. She would not speak to us, though. Where neighborhood is all white, we're the only black people in this. She won't speak to us. She lives right across the damn street. But she put a note on my car the one day this car had ever been parked on the side of this damn road. We had never done this before. So what did I do? I went over and knocked on that bitch's door and wanted to ask her, why did she leave this motherfucking note on my car? Of course, she did not answer the door, that damn door. And I thought to myself, white people too damn comfortable. Why would you put a damn note on a nigga's car thinking I won't go over there and just get thugged out one night? Come on now. If you ain't gonna speak to your neighbor, don't write no note, put it on his motherfucking car. That's why you end up in a ditch. Learn something, man. Learn something. But people don't. Because I figured out white people are comfortable. White people want to talk to the motherfucking terrorists. You don't have to blow us up. Leave that motherfucker alone. He's going to blow everybody up. Quit trying to negotiate with motherfuckers. That's why you don't see no black negotiators. I'm not negotiating with this man with this AK-47. He is shooting people. That's why in the Colorado shooting, what happened? Black folks was running. We ain't saving nobody. If you came here with me, then you better been running with me. I'm getting the fuck out. But white people are comfortable. They must be nice, because they bungee jump, so you know they comfortable. They figure, fuck it, I'm going to die one day, why not today? Damn it, man. This is the Is It Just Me? Thank you guys for joining me here on Your World My Views. Of course, y'all know if you want to get free Coke for the rest of 2012, just go to yourworldmyviews.net, yourworldmyviews.com. All them damn websites take you to the same place. Register for it, or just go to CokeZero.com and put in YWMV. Now, I came up with this because I just kept thinking to myself, white people really are comfortable. I think, like, death don't bother them. Like, they know it's coming. Black folks be trying to just live. Like, we'll be the first motherfucker that didn't die. That's what all black folks think. We think that we will somehow be the first person that never died. Like, we'll be Jesus part two. Even Jesus died, man. But black folks be holding on to shit. That's why black folks have never left the ghetto. When they're 100 years old, ain't never left that block. I've been on this block my whole life. White folks, they let their kids swim at 2 months old. They come out the womb in the motherfucking pool. If you can't swim, Billy, you're going to drown. If you can't swim, Billy, you're going to drown. And you'd be like, damn it, man. Now, I don't know what's going on with these people. I'm still trying to figure out how this Google Plus comes in. I wish I can't mute them because they're talking and shit. And I'm trying to shut them up. But anyway, what happens is these people, they're coming to... You know, white people are comfortable with death. It doesn't bother them. White people like death. It doesn't really affect them like that much. That's why if it was up to a nigga, if a black man had to figure out how to, if a black man with the Wright brothers and had to figure out how to fly a plane, that motherfucking plane would have never flew off the ground. Once it got up a couple of feet, a nigga would have been like, hold up a minute. This shit is dangerous. We need to get on the ground. Get on the damn ground. But not white folks. They want to see how high they can get, how fast they can go. And it's all right to a certain extent, but you have to realize, look, people. What is this? How can I keep hearing them kids? I'm trying to mute them and I can't. And why are these kids watching me? What is going on? Somebody brought some kids in here and the kids is watching the show. I'm going to tell your parents. Y'all got to... Google, y'all got to tell me how this shit is working, because I don't understand what the fuck is happening. Maybe I can mute the whole system and it won't. I think I did. Okay, cool. Thank you, Google Plus. All right, now whenever they want to talk, I can let them in. All right, cool. But I'm not being racist. I'm just being stereotypical. They're two different things. A racist person is somebody that think they're better than somebody else. A stereotypical person just sit up there and believe that they could generalize a whole group of motherfuckers by saying the same shit. That's what I believe. I believe you can group a whole group of motherfuckers in the same damn category. I think you can. Now, some shit is good for you. Some shit is bad. White people get categorized as having good credit. That ain't no shit to be ashamed of. Black folks get criticized for having a big old dick. I don't know why this is a good thing, but I ain't nothing to be ashamed of. I got a big penis. Niggas with little dicks still be running around saying they got big penises because they know, yay, the only way you can find out is to take my clothes off. By then, it's too late. But you got to understand, you sit back and you think about a lot of this. White people are very damn comfortable. They are. How do you know white people are comfortable? Because I remember being in college, and every time it was all black club, it was always one white dude there. And the motherfucker was comfortable. He didn't feel out of place. He got so comfortable, he called somebody a nigga. What's up, nigga? Everybody turn around. What the fuck you just say? He got comfortable. You ain't see no black person get that damn comfortable at an all-white party. I remember when I was in college, I went to a Pike party. Them Pikes, them white boys off the chain. White boys get two damn beers in them. Somebody getting raped. You better watch your pussy the rest of the night. Sarah, I got me some lager in me. But you turn around and you sit, you look, and you think to yourself, white people, black folks ain't that comfortable at the party. When I was in there with them Pikes, the drunker they got, the more scared I got. I said, they're going to ask me to do some shit that I don't feel comfortable doing. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Come on over here, Tommy. I want you to do something. Oh, shit. Here we go. They're going to ask me to do something that I don't feel comfortable doing, but I'm outnumbered. Why don't you do one of those dances you guys do? And I'm up there doing it because I got to do it because there's too many of them and not enough of me. I'm uncomfortable. And white boys do shit to test your manhood when they together. They take off each other's clothes and shit and play with each other's balls, and they ain't gay. They're straight. You do shit with white boys and you be 100% heterosexual. It'd be real gay when you're doing it. But if you do that same shit with a black group, a black dude will punch you in your motherfucking neck. I remember when I was hanging out with some white boys at basketball camp. Motherfuckers were scared to go to sleep. And I kept saying, why are they scared to go to sleep? Next thing I know, the first motherfucker went to sleep. They went and pissed in his Gatorade, put some shaving cream in his hands, and stuck his foot in some hot water. And the motherfucker pissed on himself. I said, fuck this. This is not funny. How the fuck is this funny? And everybody's laughing. This shit is hilarious. Brad just drunk a Gatorade bottle full of piss and pissed on himself. I'm like, that's some shit to get you beat up. You can't do this to no niggas. You can't. We don't have that kind of fun. I remember when I was hanging out with the white boys at high school, when he was like, we're going to fucking go out, Tommy. We want to have a fucking good time tonight. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? That's enough. And they stopped at the damn grocery store. They started called Kroger down here in Georgia. Everybody go to Kroger's. They went to damn Kroger and they came out of the damn Kroger with motherfucking trunk full of toilet paper and eggs. And I said, what the fuck we gonna do with all this toilet paper and eggs? I thought we gonna eat a bunch of eggs and have the fucking runs and have to shit or something. I didn't know what their plans were. Next thing I know, in the white boys is going over the motherfuckers' house that we go to school with. You know we go to school with these motherfuckers, Brad. They gonna see us. Brad jumped out of the car. Come on, Tommy. I came with this motherfucker, and he got a big carton of eggs, and he chunking them in houses and cars and shit. And Mike over there is throwing toilet paper, extra value. And that's what let me know is something wrong with white people. I don't even wipe my own ass at that point in time. We were so broke. I couldn't wipe my own ass with two-ply toilet tissue. They was rolling people's house with expensive-ass toilet paper. The fuck you doing? Don't be putting the cottonelle in the bushes. That's cottonelle, man. Use the cheap shit at least. The white boys was throwing eggs at motherfuckers' houses and cars. And then I found out when I got older that eggs will fuck up your paint job. Will fuck up your car. So I kept thinking, well, why would they do that to people they go to school with? And they were laughing and giggling and shit. It was the best shit they'd ever done. The niggas, when we 15 and 16, only thing we wanted to do was sneak somebody's porn, watch it, get one of these girls to suck your dick or something, maybe, just maybe, smoke a little bit of weed. That's all we wanted to do. Well, the good thing about being white, though, they don't have to worry about nobody sucking their dick. That's like a rite of passage. That's some shit that just happens. If you white, you're going to get your dick sucked. It don't matter if you a nerd. It don't matter who you are. One of them white girls going to suck your dick just for practice. They need practice. The black dude, getting a dick suck is almost like motherfucking winning a gold medal in the Olympics. Shit got a bag for this shit. Nigga, I was 30 before I got head. And the bitch lost a bet. But anyway, y'all, thank y'all for joining the show tonight. Number's 347-989-8310. Join in, call. You can even Skype us. When should I take some phone calls? Y'all know what the question was. The question I was asking was, is it okay for you to be friendly with, you know, the person you got a baby with? Because Tim Alexander, who's going to be joining the show, and he's the director of the hit movie Diary of a Tired Black Man, he's going to be on the show. And he wrote a letter, and I want to read this letter to you guys. He wrote a letter. I think it's a nice letter that he wrote to his ex-wife. I'm going to read this letter to y'all, and he's going to be on the show, and he's going to talk to you guys about that. But I thought it was a good letter. That's all I can say. I thought it was a good letter. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But a lot of people are saying they don't really think that's cool, so let me just read what he wrote. Tim wrote to his ex-wife, "You know what the happiest days in my life was? Being in the hospital with you when you gave me Alan and Brandon, that's his kids. And I held them for the first time, and I was there to witness how hard you worked and almost gave your life to give them to me. Thank you. And I will always love you and honor you for that alone. I just have to tell you that. And be blessed, and congratulations on your progress and your new place. Respectfully, Tim." I am truly forever grateful. Now, she wrote him back, you're welcome and thank you. Now, his letter was long and her response was short, so I don't know if that says anything. I don't know if that tells you. She probably like, what the fuck are you doing sending me a message? Who knows? But the question is, a lot of people that's got kids, and the question is it okay for you to be friendly with your child's mom? Because it's kind of hard not to want to be intimate with somebody that you've been intimate with. And I think that's what scares a lot of people. You're thinking, well, they did get this baby, and you figured the stork didn't bring the motherfucking kid to them, or they didn't just sit around and was eating peanut butter, and next thing you know, a baby came. You know what they were doing to get it. So because you know what they were doing to get the baby, you're not real comfortable when they say, well, you know, I'm going to go spend the night over that motherfucking Brad's house again. You know, that nigga I used to throw eggs and shit with. I'm going to go spend the night with Brad. And you think, either Brad going to egg you, toilet paper you, or fuck you. It's only three things Brad doing tonight. He doing one of three. And the thing is, like, with my daughter and me, and this is a more prevalent question amongst black folks, because all black folks got a baby with somebody that they ain't with for some reason. It just seems like that's just what we do. White women suck dick, black women get kids. It's just it's a rite of passage for both. But you sit back and you think about it, you're not real comfortable, especially as a man, because black men, all we do is sit around all day talking about sex. And when we talk about sex, it don't sound like a real nice event that just happened. White people talk about sex, you don't really know what's going on. I'm going to suck my cock. What the fuck is that? I don't know what that is. It's a cock. I don't know, but it sounds like it. I don't know. Sound like some shit going on in a farm. I don't know. But black folks, when we talk about sex, sound like a motherfucking MMA fight. It sound like some shit just out of line. I beat that pussy up. I knocked that pussy out. I'm gonna beat that bitch down tonight. Nigga, you gonna get a felony for that. What are you talking about? You going to jail. Doing that shit to her. Oh, that's what you meant. Because, see, I grew up in an all-white school. So I didn't know, when I got around black folks, I didn't know what the fuck they was talking about. I was sitting up there like, I was scared. I was like them. I had to ask my homeboy, Brad, what are they talking about? Brad had to fill me in. That's what was fucked up. But you hear black folks talk about sex, it sounds so nasty. Man, I bust all in that bitch face, you know what I'm saying? Short, I had her bent over, I was hitting her from behind, you know how a nigga do. And you be like, I would never fuck her behind you. I would never date her. I have no respect for her now after everything you just said. So you think about it. Our situation is a little different. The way we talk about sex is a little different. So I believe if my black girlfriend had a white baby daddy, I'd be comfortable with her going over Brad's house. I don't know why. Just feel a little more comfortable with her sitting at Brad's house. You know, Brad, the baby's sick, and I'm going to go over Brad's house, and we're going to take him to the emergency room. All right, you can go on with Brad, because the worst Brad going to do is he's going to either egg your house, he's going to toilet paper your trees, or he's going to make you give him some head on the way to the hospital. But that's about it. It's just something about going, when you go with a black dude, he going to make you sell a couple keys. He going to make you rob a motherfucking convenience store when you go with him. That just ain't going to go right. So I don't feel comfortable with that. But that's just me. Let me bring in Antonio and see how he feels about this. Antonio, what's going on, man?
What's up, Tom?
Not much, man. What are you doing? What's all that damn wind out here in the background? Where you at?
I'm driving. I'm on another windows. All right. What's up?
Nigga, you ain't got no air conditioning shit?
It's raining.
You like my daughter's mama. I call her and sound like this bitch is caught in a cyclone and shit. What's going on? She got the windows down and the top down. She drive one of them damn Jeeps. So it don't have, even if you let the windows up, the damn side is all down. So I don't know how no grown-ass person riding a damn Jeep, your ass getting a car accident, you're going to be everywhere except in that car. But let me ask you this, brother. Do you have any kids, first off?
No, I don't got no kids.
Okay. If you were, have you ever dated a chick with kids? Wait a minute. You a black man with no kids?
Yeah, that's rare.
It is impossible. My show has turned into Ripley's, believe it or not. All right, a black man with no kids is on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, call in now. This shit is just... Hey. Sasquatch has been found. We have found the Sasquatch.
Tommy, and a college degree, and a good job.
You know, that nigga said, and he got a good job. This shit is, I don't believe it. This nigga
like
said, he
right
don't
now.
Have no. Wait a minute. Say this again and say it slow. Say what you just said so the audience can hear. You said you don't have one of two things. What are they?
I have no kids. I have a college degree, and I have a great job. A career. That's a career. I have a career.
This man said he has a career, a college degree, and no kids. This is a black man. Ladies, y'all know what this is?
Fucking believable. Fucking believable. Fucking believable. Fucking believable.
It's unfucking believable. But let me ask you seriously, and it's a serious question. Have you ever dated a chick with kids? Now, you can't say you haven't ever dated a chick with kids.
Oh, most definitely I have.
Okay.
Most definitely.
I was about to say, this ain't a black man at all. This is a fucking prank at this point.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I didn't
this know. This is shit. But, okay, so let me ask you, were the women close to the guy that they dated? Were they close to him?
You see, her baby father, he was still in her life. I mean, he was still in his son's life or whatever. But I could, like, tell, like, you know what I mean? It was still something there, you know what I mean? Like, it would be times she'd be crying, you know what I mean? Because you ain't going to cry about something if you don't care about this dude, you know what I mean? Like, he still can trigger her emotionally and make her cry about something. I'm looking like, damn, like, for real? Like, you like him or something? Like, you know what I mean? But,
oh,
like,
wait a minute,
Wait,
Antonio, give me an example of one of them arguments, because I know what you're saying. You know when they come home, because you're in a relationship, and they sitting there crying, you like, what's wrong? They like, you know, Jamarcus or whatever the fuck his name is, Quandrarius. He... No, the Quandrarius done did something. So you sitting up there listening, and you telling us that basically after hearing the conversation, you thought, wait a minute, why are you that upset? There must be more going on, right?
Right, like... She was getting more emotional over him than over me. I'm like, damn. I'm like, for real? Like, I'm supposed to be the one in your life. You know what I mean? Like, shit, this nigga making you cry and shit. Like, she don't show no emotion with me like that. I'm like, shit. I mean, that just bothers you as a man. You know what I mean? Like, just knowing that another man got your woman's attention or can have your woman's attention, you know?
But let me ask you this. Seriously, as a man who has all that stuff that you have going for yourself, did it never bother you in the beginning about the fact that, fuck emotions, this man been in your girl, just done nutted up in your girl several times to the point of where a baby came? Don't that feel a little odd?
It do. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I probably ain't messing with baby mothers no more. I don't even fuck with them no more, for real. Like, seriously, hey, I learned my lesson. I don't like that shit.
Yeah,
I don't like that shit, for real.
Every time I look at that little fucking baby, I think about that dude you used to be with, and I want to punch that baby in the face. I mean, I'm not advocating whooping his ass. I didn't say that.
That was
a
9-year-old little motherfucker that beat up the little kid. Hey, I want to whoop his little ass, man. You saw that video? I swear to God, I want to whoop his little ass, man. Hey, but Tommy, it was people in the little daycare. How the fuck she didn't turn around and see him? Like, man, when I saw him, like, do that little drop kick shit on her, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this can't be serious. That was crazy.
I thought I was watching the motherfucker. I'm telling you what I thought I was watching. I thought I was watching John Cena in motherfucking WWE. That little boy was fucking them kids up.
He hit on her mouth, like, five times, man. Like, I'm talking about he was looking all around before he did it, punching the shit out of that little girl. I'm just like,
little
damn.
Little sneaky son of a bitch. Little sneaky.
Like, I guarantee you. He was raised by his mama. He don't got no daddy.
Did you see what the aunt said, though? That was funny. First off, the aunt had the thing wrapped around her head, and then she came on TV and she said, you know, he bad. You know, he take medicine. What the fuck does he take medicine mean? This motherfucker could have been taking NyQuil. What the fuck does he take medicine mean? Yeah, when you listen to ghetto people talk, and then she ended it with this, though, Antonio. When she ended it, she said, he just like any normal child. What the fuck?
No, he ain't.
How you go through all this stuff and then say he just like any other normal child?
Man, he was like damn Chucky, man. Little child's play. He was evil. That's an evil little boy.
You know what was funny?
Like, you know somebody.
You know what was funny, though? When the dad came up there, and he slapped the shit out of one of them kids, and it was the wrong kid.
Damn. Oh, oh shit. I ain't seen that. I ain't seen that video yet. That's what I was looking for, because that's how I heard about it. Like,
oh, you got to go. See, that's why y'all got to go to my YouTube channel. Stop looking at shit on other people's YouTube channel. It's all
my
wrong.
My fault. They give me that shit out of order and shit.
Yeah, they don't get the story right.
Hey,
I got white sources. That's why my sources is always correct. Y'all be listening to black people. That shit be what they made up.
I be trying to see your commentary on that shit. Hey, you're a funny guy, man. And that should be funny as hell, but it be so true. Well, I swear to God, funny as hell.
You see my boy Jacques Negro got like, he got 8,000 Twitter followers.
Hey, that's a funny dude, man. Hey, but Tommy, I gotta give you credit on this one, man. Hey, the funniest shit with that Jacques Negro shit, whatever his name is, man, at the end when you do that National Geographic shit, man, I was dying laughing, man. I swear to God, man, I was dying laughing. I couldn't believe you put that shit on there, like, man. DC's back.
It be killing me, like, the emails I be getting. Like, people will get mad if I do a video now and Jacques Negro ain't in it. I'm like, right. Y'all don't like me no more. Y'all like my personality better than me. That pissed me off. I got to walk around every motherfucking day. I'm at the grocery store. A white guy walking up to me laughing and shit. You're Jacques Negro. I ain't.
Tommy.
And they be like, well, do the Australian accent. And I can't do it on cue.
Hey, Tommy, he ain't going to never run out of skits, man. He got unlimited ammo, right? with these black women. He got unlimited ammo, man. I'm talking about,
I'll be like a
20-year-old
man still being Jacques Negro. But I have dementia, so I won't even know that I'm not really him now. I think I'm really that dude.
Hey, but Tommy, I meant to say this on the other show and shit last Tuesday or whatever. I fell asleep on it, man. I was tired. Hey, but yeah, when y'all was talking about that Colorado shooting, man. Hey, let me just throw my little input in on this. Hey, that Colorado shooting was staged, man. Hey, Obama's been trying to get
you believe
the
government had something to do with it. You believe like a lot of conspiracy theories
of
that the government had something to do with it.
Hey, of course, I'll be trying to get on with y'all be talking, man, about that. Like, that's all I do, man. That's all I look up, government stuff. Like, that's what I'm into. Like, some people in sports, I'm into, like, politics and government type stuff. And when y'all be having on there, the one dude you be having on from Florida, Alexander. Like, yeah, he'd be on point, too. Like, man, when y'all be talking about that, like, y'all be listening to that. Like, man, that's just, like, really some good stuff to talk about. Because people really think stuff like that crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they think you crazy for talking about stuff like that. But you're really informed. But on that Colorado shooting, That was literally staged by the government. Obama's been trying to get the UN gun passed for like at least about since he's been in office right now, but he's been trying to do it like secretly. But like they're gonna use that to get the gun ban passed, and they're gonna use it to put TSA in malls and like shopping centers everywhere. Like they're literally trying to make this like a police state for real. Like they use anything to justify a police state. 9/11, they use that to get the Patriot Act passed, stuff like that. Government stage stuff to get their agenda passed. They've been doing it for years and years and years, thousands of years. That's like an old trick. They've been doing this for years.
Well, I agree with you because they did it with Pearl Harbor. They did it with the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
Gulf of Tonkin.
I believe they did it with 9/11.
Of course. Of course they did it with 9/11.
So here's my question. You remember, I don't know if you heard in the show, but I was trying to figure out which was going to happen first. Were they going to lobby for more for more gun laws or relax gun laws? What you're saying is they're going to lobby for more gun laws, right?
Oh, yeah, they want a total gun ban. They want to get the American people without guns. That's going to be crazy because I want to see the police officer or a military person go to somebody's door. And I ain't talking about, you know what I mean, in the city. I'm talking about the white boys off in the Appalachians. Go to their door talking about you taking their guns. You're going to have a shootout. And them boys
from
the
Marines. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I like
about anybody giving up their guns.
Well, that's what I say. That's what I like about white dudes. White dudes, they stand for any motherfucking thing. It don't matter.
They do.
They stand for the motherfucking save the shrimp and shit. White boys, they'll throw down their life just because. They'll throw down their life on a gauntlet. Oh, fuck it, Billy, and they'll just throw it down. A nigga, you can take our gun from us. If the military show up at the house, we'll give them everything we got.
They're going to give them everything. But you see, Tommy, What they going? They gonna disarm those big cities first. Chicago, New. They already got New York. They already got New York and Chicago with gun bans. And look at Chicago. Every weekend, at least 30 people get killed. That's because they don't have a gun ban. I mean, that's because they have a gun ban. Criminals don't follow laws no matter what. They don't follow laws no matter what. Criminals do not follow laws no matter what.
That's
so
what I said in
guns,
the last
and they're going to do what they do. The
well, that's what I said in the last show. That's what I said in the last show. I said, why the fuck are we expecting a fucking criminal to obey the law? If that's the case,
right,
they wouldn't have been criminals in the first place.
Right. Criminals will never follow the law. That's what they do. They're going to kill you no matter what. Gun ban or not, they'll stab you. They don't follow laws. The guns is there for citizens that follow the laws to protect themselves. The average response time for a police officer is around 20 minutes. I can kill somebody within 30 seconds. 20 minutes.
Yeah, you kill more than somebody. That white dude
in
Colorado, he killed several people in a matter of seconds.
Them white guys, hey, the first reports that came out, that it was multiple shooters. They covering that up. And the first report that came out, they said he was dressed like Bang. Now he's a Joker now. You gotta listen to everything. Pay attention to what the media say. You gotta listen to everything.
Let me
story
ask you this,
up real quick. They story
let me ask you
up
this,
real quick.
Let me ask you this. When you looked at that white guy with that red hair and he was sitting up there, didn't it look like he was on drugs or something? I mean, he was sitting up there looking like Sideshow Bob from the motherfucking Simpsons.
Man, he looked like a fiend in the 80s, man. He looked like he was out of this world gone. He didn't even look like, he don't even know where he at. That guy probably is on all type of LSDs and everything, man. He probably,
It reminds you of Sirhan. Listen, it reminds you of Sirhan. Didn't know what the fuck happened.
He didn't know what was going on. Same thing, he didn't know what was going on. That man didn't know what was going on. And plus they said in that room it was multiple shooters. When JFK got shot, bullets was coming from all type of angles. Like, people don't be understanding that type of stuff. Even with the JFK shoot, there's no way Oswald killed JFK. There's no way possible.
I don't know if you missed it in the last show. What I talked about was the fact that it doesn't matter if they came out and told us they did it. The government, the people are so sheepish that they still go along with it. When Bill Clinton came out and said they gave black folks syphilis, black folks didn't riot on the motherfucking Capitol. We went on to work.
Sure didn't. They sure didn't. They got Obama. They was cool with it.
we don't act a fool. And most of the time, the public has been so, brainwashed. The public is so much fluoride in the damn water that we are easily pushed to do whatever they want us to do. That's why I tell people all the time, most movies, most TV shows are directed towards the people to get them to do whatever they want them to do.
You're right about that. TV was the biggest propaganda machine ever made. It's perfect.
I believe.
The TV can do what government could never do. It's in your house. They don't have to knock on the door to come in. You don't need his permission to come in. It's in your house. It's teaching your little kids when they 1 and 2. That's why these little kids nowadays, you see little kids, young as hell, they just be knowing like all the shit they don't supposed to know. But they know none of the stuff they supposed to know. Because parents didn't let the TV teach their kids. Like, we got out of that tradition where the parents would raise the kids and teach them, you know, tradition and stuff like that. Now the TV teaches them tradition. That's why these little kids wild as hell these days. They didn't learn from MTV culture, BET. That's what they've been teaching the kids. And like, it's just a tradition that go on generation to generation. Kids raising kids, like, it didn't got crazy out of hand. And all that was planned. Like, the government needs the stabilization in every faction of the country. They need black people hating white people. They need white people hating black people. They need men hating women. They need women hating men. They need that.
Yep.
That creates the stabilization. And that keeps them in power. As long as we divide it as a country, they also have power.
I've been saying that. There's more classism than racism, and people need to understand that. There's more classism than racism.
Right. Right. Because I swear, I can honestly say myself, I never experienced like just total just racism in my life. Like, where I just like, damn, that was racist. Like, I'm not one of those, you know, sensitive people. Like, yeah. Like, for real. Like, I'm not one of those sensitive people where I'm like, you know what I mean, everything a white person say, I get offended by it. Because I don't like political correctness. I like when people be honest and talk their mind. You know, I like that, you know. I'm not one of
the people. I don't like when people aren't able to speak their mind either. I don't believe in shutting somebody up.
Like right.
A man saying he don't like black folks, you got that right. I don't like fat folks.
Right.
I can't stand fat people.
Right.
You fat motherfucker. I said to their face, you fat ass fucker.
Right. You tell them what they is, you know. I don't like when we feel like we gotta hide our feelings and stuff. like, you know, hide what's on our mind. Because, like, that makes people mad, you know, because people can't express what they want to say. Like, cause I think, to me personally, like, I get along with a lot of white people, you know what I mean? Like, personally get along with them, they get along with me.
Let me say this to you, Antonio, and I know this is going to get a lot of people mad. Political correctness is the number one tool used by what form of government?
Political correctness?
Yeah. That's what communism is. With the start of all communism is political correctness.
You're right.
Because what
it
does is it starts telling you what you can and cannot say about others. The next thing you know is what you can and cannot say about the government.
And you're right about that, because that's where political correctness got started at. It got started under communism. Because that's how they infiltrated the whole country under that.
Really?
You can't say that. You can't criticize this group. Next thing you know, it was you can't criticize the government. And once it got to that level, like we're going right now, because people don't understand, Stalin killed about 22 million of his people. Stalin.
Yes, he did.
And that's what we was working with in World War II. China, Mao, he killed around 80 million of his people. That's what we was working with during World War II. These are mass murderers.
These are mass murderers. We want to get your boy in Cuba. Wait a minute. We want to get your boy in Cuba, Castro, out of office when we the one put him in office.
Yeah,
We wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein when we the one who put him in office. We wanted to get rid of everybody. We wanted to get rid of the Taliban when we the ones who armed the Taliban.
You right. They armed them during the 80s war with the Soviet Union.
Yes, the Iran-Contra. We armed and funded the Taliban.
We created Al-Qaeda.
Saying we, but it's the United States government. You know niggas ain't have nothing to do with that. We didn't spend no money over there. But you got to say we, because we, you know, it's like...
I'm American. I'm a proud American. I mean, most of our government, it has been hijacked. I will say that. But it's factions of our government. Let's be real. People in our government stupid as hell. It's factions of our government. It's not... That's why people, like, when you say stuff like that, like the government, they're like, no, that can't be true. That's so the whole government know. No, idiot. No, the whole government don't know. Some of them people in government is stupid. You know what I mean? Some of them is just there because they was the popular person in a small little district. And Nancy Pelosi, for one. You know what I mean? They're just there to be there. You know, but like a lot of these people don't know nothing. I'm talking about those higher up people. I'm talking about the higher up. When you get into the military, when you get into the lobbies and stuff, all like that. Like those people that have been family members been in government, the Clintons and stuff like that, the Bushes. Like those are the people. But even those people, they still on small levels. Like though they're not high, top-notch people in government. Like government is ran by corporations. They ran. Those are front people. But they got family generations in there, so it make them seem like they, you know, to the average person, like they big in government, but they're not at all. Those people take orders.
What I want to do is I want to talk back to you a little bit later in the show. I want to try to at least get two more phone calls in here before we go to a break, and then I'll bring in Tim Alexander because he's going to be on the show in a little while. We're going to ask him about that. So what I'm going to do is go to at least – I'm going to try to get at least a couple more of these phone calls in here. And, again, I know people always ask, well, why do you take a long time with one person? Because if I like them, I talk to them. That's how it works. Let me bring in Robert from the 517. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, what's up, Tommy? What's chilling, man? What's cracking?
Nothing much, nothing much. Oh, let me get you to the question that we had asked. First off, do you have any children?
No, sir.
Wait a minute, another black man with no kids?
Yeah, I get that a lot. I mean, I remember back in the day, I talked to a couple of chicks. She's like, oh, you don't have kids? And then after a while, I start to realize that, yeah, this is not common.
No, this ain't common. I'm figuring that people are pranking and pulling my leg now. But we're going to go ahead, and Robert, I'm going to ask you this then. Have you ever dated a woman with children?
Kind of. I attempted to, but we kind of fell out.
Why'd you fall out?
Make the long story short, I was talking to her, and, you know, back I called her, and she was like, well, you don't know the game and all that other stuff, so... She said, well, I can be your friend. I'm like, nah, I don't need any more friends. And that was it.
Yeah, I never understood why a woman says she want to be my buddy. I don't play that buddy shit. I ain't no friends with no woman. Only time I'm friend with a woman is she's just real damn ugly. And if still, that's a bad thing, because if it's just that late or I'm that lonely, I still might jump over that fence. But let me ask you, would you be okay with the idea of if you were dating a woman with children, if she was like best friends with her child's father?
Uh, I don't know. It's like it's kind of shady because like you want to have a good relationship with the father, because if she has a good relationship with the child's father, you know, that's less stress on you because she's not going to be mad and, you know, stomping around and having, you know, talk about her dad ain't shit. So in that way, I think it could be positive, but if she's too friendly, she could still be fucking them. And that's kind of the biggest fear that, you know, I would have, and I think a lot of guys have as well, is that, you know, she's still, you know, messing with this dude. And that's happened before. It has happened to me, but I've heard about it where she's still seeing the baby daddy on the side, and then she makes a decision to go back with the child's father and try to make it work. And, you know, you sitting there, you spend all this money on her and all this time, and you could have been doing something else.
Yeah, that would become an irritating thing. Right. I think it's what most guys fear. Most guys fear what would happen with the woman they're talking to. I mean, who the fuck wants to be with a chick and she's up there with this guy and you know they have a sexual history, and no guy wants to be with a girl who's basically been sleeping with somebody else? But why would you, if you know that's a problem, just out of curiosity, why would you date the woman in the first place?
Well, you talked about this in previous shows. It's like, you know, You date a chick with a kid because, well, some guys are predators. They know that she's having sex, she's fucking, so that's easy pussy. You ain't got to do too much to get it. And, you know, then you have the dudes that are like Captain Save-A-Ho, you know, or Super Captain Save-A-Ho. They think that, you know, she's a good woman, and, you know, they were conditioned because they're from single moms, so they're kind of used to the situation. I'm not. I tried to date a couple chicks with kids, and issues came into play, but, you know, your average black man is used to dating a woman with a kid, so he just grew up with it. So, really, it's like second nature to him. So, that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you see the video I put up about Beyonce and how the people were going off on her child, saying it got big lips, big nose, and nappy hair?
I didn't see that one.
You should have seen it.
When'd you put it up, man? I've seen a couple of
videos. I put
it out
this morning. There was an article, and it showed how, well, you know, they put up pictures of Beyonce's baby. You know, the baby's 6 months now, and they put up pictures of Beyonce's baby. And people were saying the baby was ugly, had big lips, had big nose, had nappy hair. And it was women.
Is this black women?
Yes.
Or white women, or just is it a microcosm?
No, they were black women. No, they were black women. And black women, you remember how I talk about on my show all the time about how black women kill each other as well as the black community's self-esteem. They don't like black people. Black women don't like black people.
You know what? Sorry to start, but the more I listen to your shows and the more I do my own observation, you know, black women are a lot of black, not all of them. I'll say that. I don't want someone jumping down on me, the all police, but a lot of black women don't like being black. They don't like themselves. And they're the first ones to talk about, you know, I hate white people this and white bitch that, but they walk around with the contacts and the hair, and they try to, like, you know, act just, they'll try to emulate them. So it's like you say, it's weird talking to them, and I wonder why they do what they do. It's like, you say you're a proud black woman, but you make a fun of this child who did nothing to you because she says she has big lips, she's too dark, and you make a fun of things that make us black. That doesn't make any sense. I still can't wrap my head around that.
And if you think about it, instead of internalizing their fear of not being appreciated, they externalize it and try to make other people not feel appreciated. They try to make, when they hate themselves, they try to make you hate yourself. Have you noticed that? Like, black women are loud to people. They're rude to people because they don't like themselves, so they say shit about other people. Like, the people who follow me around on YouTube, they hate themselves, so they want me to start hating me.
Oh, man, on the side note, dude, what's old girl's name? Man, when I saw that video where she was wearing the King Tut hat and her daughter was in the hat, I was just thrilled. I'm like, this chick is gone. I've never seen anything like that.
Exactly. But think about it. Wouldn't you swear that I would have had to know this woman, I've had sex with this woman, that it can't be someone I've never met would be acting like this?
Yeah, but she's also a problem. She's also part of the problem. It's like, she's going to call you black, ugly, all these other names, But she's going to be, how are you going to be pro-black when you talk about black people like that? You wear an Egyptian garb, got your daughter looking like, I don't know, Nefertiti or I don't know, whatever, Cleopatra, whatever you want to call, and she's talking about pro-black, married to a white dude, but calling you, so you got dark skin, you big lips, you a monkey, and all the other stuff. But I'm like, that's a contradiction in terms, man. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You pro-black,
and...
but you talk about how, about you pro-black, but you talk about black, how much you hate the features that make you black. I don't get it. I never will.
But women have been doing that for a long time, literally putting other people down for their black features. I want to ask you one more thing, Robert, before I go to another phone call. There's another report that I put out there about this white woman. And the white woman put out on Facebook, she put out, what the hell is that?
That's the home phone in the background.
Oh.
My bad.
She put out, she put a post on Facebook that said, I'm about to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep with my windows up. The next day they found this woman dead and burned up in her house.
Oh, the cheat was that. I heard about another one where a Facebook post, right? There's another Facebook post where, like, a daughter or something posted some pictures of some cash, and they got robbed the next day or something like that.
Damn.
It ain't funny, but
what is wrong with people?
People get too comfortable, man. It's like I learned a long time ago that I remember when the internet first came out. It was like this new thing, this. The Wild West, and, you know, people thought that I can be free out here and do what I want, but it's taken a couple smacks to reality for me and, you know, learning pains that you can't really treat the internet, you know, like it's this free, not a harmful thing that can't come back to bite you. You basically have to treat people on the internet like you treat people in real life. You have to treat the internet like real life in the sense that you got to be careful. I would never walk around in public flashing cash. You don't do that in real life. You don't do it on the internet. I would never walk around. I would never leave a house without having my windows locked, my door locked. I mean, I've been in car trips where I got in my car. I drove like 10 miles. Like, did I lock my apartment? I'm going back. Fuck it. I go back and check, and it's locked. But that's how I am. You know, you have to treat the internet like that. You can't. The things you don't do in real life, don't do on the internet. So, and like I said, people have gotten lax. They've gotten comfortable, they've gotten calm, and a lot of people still haven't realized that the internet's a very dangerous, a very volatile place. They kind of borrow a quote from Star Wars, it's wretched hive of scum and villainy. You must be cautious. You can't be doing that shit. And these people have to understand that. It's like, you go, like I knew it, it's like, man, people are acting too familiar, they're acting stupid, somebody's going to get killed or beat up. I saw the beginning of the internet beefs earlier, I'm like, man, all this beef, and someone's going to get beat up, shot, killed, and sure enough, several years later, what's happening? People getting beat up all over Facebook. People getting killed on the internet over breaking up and all that other stuff. And you gotta be careful. I mean, and until more people start to realize that, you're gonna see more instances like that because people don't learn shit.
You think about it. It's a crazy situation, and you're right. I remember when the internet first started. The internet started where it was just a place where you could just be who the fuck you. It started off with a place where you were just talking. You thought that you had to say who you were. Then it became a place that evolved into people got to, you know, take on the different personalities and personas. But it was still innocent. Then it became a place where everybody lived their real life. So once you get to the point where people are living their real lives, they have real live emotions on that medium. So they would get upset. They would be sad. They would be happy. They fall in love. Every real emotion that you could possibly have in real life, you now can have on the internet. So one of those things can be anger and vengeance.
Yep. Like I said,
I was just saying that's what people are missing, that all these things are now present that are in your regular life. They're now present in your internet life.
That's why you have to treat the stuff you wouldn't do in real life, don't do on the internet. It's no different. That's like that money, leaving your windows open, telling folks about it. You don't do it in real life. If you're smart, don't do it on the internet. That's where you have to treat it. That's like when you had the beef with Happy Cabby and who was it, Brett, and all that other stuff. And, you know, you squashed the beef and, you know, just like, and like before it accelerated. I mean, you have to basically, you just got to be careful who you talk to and all this other stuff and who you trust. These aren't your friends. These aren't people you know. You know, you have to treat them like you treat a stranger in the street. You don't know them. You going to trust them with your personal information or money? No. Don't do it on the internet. That's getting people burned.
Right. That's why I didn't understand. I was like, I remember just like the line in Back to the Future 3 when finally Marty looked at them when they were saying, if you don't show up for the fight, you're going to be called a yellow belly for the rest of time. And he looked at them and he said, Biff's a fucking idiot. And all those people kept trying to get me to continue to fight with these people. And it was people who didn't like me. It wasn't like it was my supporters was like, go on and keep fighting with Happy Cabby and Brett and all these people. It was only the people who didn't like me in the first place wanted me to keep fighting them and egging them on, saying, yeah, you let them white boys let you back down. I kept thinking, why would I fuck with people that have nothing to do with my cause who have more power than y'all do? Now, it ain't that they powerful people, but them white folk don't really like being made to feel bad. They don't really like seeing the nigga got more than them, because I had to ask Happy Cabby on his little interview, why the fuck did you, when he called me one night, I said, what would you do with my address? Oh, I just want to see if you live there, really live there. Why the fuck would you want to see if I really live somewhere? Who the fuck does that?
People with no life. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was unemployed and stuff like that, I was on the internet a lot. I was on Generation X. I was on Facebook and stuff. But I realized that, you know, now I have a job, and I realized that, man, the hours that I have are limited, because I go to work, I come home, try to work out, play some games, paint some models, you know, do a little something. It's like, I don't have enough time to do what I want to do with basic activities. So these people that are on the internet constantly making videos and stuff, like you said, these are people that have no life and nothing else to do. And these, you know, and I would say it's like to ignore them, because those people, they have it. They have Facebook. Cabby's got Facebook, Brett, all these other people. You will never be able to basically... They can invade your kingdom. You can't invade theirs, because they have a long way to top to establish your kingdom. You can't fight the battle they fight. So you
that's what I said. I can't fight an internet war with them, because that's what they do. I'm not getting in an internet war with someone who that's what they do. When their lives is crap and they don't mind admitting that their lives is crap, and they're going to try to make yours be just as crappy as theirs. I'm not doing that.
You know, I know you've seen that movie Princess Bride, right? Where that smart dude with the poison said never get involved in land war in Asia. Man, that's you, though. You try to get involved in land war in Asia, Nick, and you get whooped. I'm sorry. You learned that, though. Get out of Asia. You don't want to be fighting land war there. It ain't you. You can't fight there.
And I just saw somebody type in here, and they were correct. He said, notice the white people didn't get into it until I showed a video of my house. It's true. When I showed them video of my house, that bothered the shit out of them white folks. Because all they thought was, well, I have 12 million views. How did he get all that? And I kept trying to explain to them, because YouTube isn't my damn domain. That's your domain. That's where you get all of your money. And it bothered them.
Yep. Like I
and
said,
the fact that his only excuse was, I just wanted to see if you really live there. Dude, that sounds like stalkerish. That sounds like you could really harm, you trying to harm somebody. Why would you want to know? I didn't try to go find out if he really lived in that apartment he showed. Why would I want to know if he really lived there? What the fuck does that have to do with me, a complete stranger? And I surely wouldn't go out and drop his address to everyone. That wouldn't make any sense to me. But it made sense to them, because they wanted something to happen to me. Because it bothered people who, when they live their life every day through this medium, they said, and that's why I said there's more, there's less racism and there's more classism. Honestly, in that situation, them white folks didn't understand how I could have more than them when it seemed like on Facebook, on YouTube, they have more than me. It bothered them. So in their minds, they said, this uppity nigga going to show his shit, so we going to throw some dirt on him.
I know it's that too, but it's like, you know, I understand why they can't believe that you have what you have. I don't know you personally. Seem like an all right cat. You have a master's or a PhD in psychology? I get it mixed up.
Master's.
You have a master's in psychology. You have your own practice. you've done journalism, you've got like endorsements, you have sponsors like Coke Zero, which I did try, by the way, and I like it.
Thank you. See?
So you make it. I mean, you hustling. You're making money in real life, like traditional businesses, and you have the internet, and you do on YouTube. You have like thousands of followers that can keep knocking your pages down. You hustling. You making money. That's not on YouTube. You on a lot of other places. I mean, they spent more time focus on their hustling than focusing on what you're doing. They might do better. I mean, if Happy Cappy can get 11 million people to follow him, these people like that. If you got that kind of charisma, you can get people to follow you like that, 11 million views, you should be able to have another hustle to make some other money. You know, get a radio show, get a Blog Talk radio show, get some other stuff popping. Why are you mad at a guy who's doing a hustle that you're not doing? I don't get it. I mean, he seems like he could do it if he's got that. If you can get 11 million views.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It seems like, and I keep telling everybody, I don't have a bunch of great shit. I have something that anybody can do if they just work hard. That's what I don't understand about black folks. We don't see a person and say we can get what they have. We say I can take it from them. If I can't have it, I'm going to make sure they don't have it. Like that damn transsexual decided to say that she slept with Chingy. Chingy hadn't been able to do no music since. Now that bitch want to come out and say that she was lying. But you ruined this man's career. And I still don't see how I ruined his damn career when you setting up damn Robert. I'm going to put you on hold. I don't see how I ruined his damn career to know that he might have slept with a damn tranny. He didn't know the tranny was a damn tranny. And even if he did, what the fuck does that got to do with if you like his damn song or not? Black folks are stupid. Didn't know white people stop watching Anderson Cooper because they found out he was gay. That damn Doogie Howser is still able to do movies and they found out he was gay. Black people are fucking idiots. We sit around and argue with a nigga because he's gay all damn day. He's gay. He's gay. Lil Wayne is gay. And if we find out, oh my God, we got to be so hyper-masculine in the black community. That's why these niggas knock y'all up and leave, because y'all ask them to be hyper-masculine. Let me see if I can get two more phone calls in before Tim come in. Let me bring in Raheem from the 718. What up, bro?
Nothing, man.
Nothing much. Hey. Nothing much. Hey, have you got any children?
No, I got no kids.
What the hell? I got the best black men in America that call into my show. Okay, Raheem, you don't have any kids. Have you ever dated a woman with kids?
I did.
Say what?
I had before.
How'd that turn out? Why you whispering, Raheem? You scared? Raheem, I've been scared with your girl in the background somewhere. You better not call that.
I'm single, man. I'm scared.
All right. So you said you have done it before.
Yeah, I did one woman, only one, and that's it.
How'd it go?
I'm single. It didn't work out.
But it could have not been a bad experience. It could have just been, you guys just grew apart. I was just trying to figure out, did the kids have anything to do with the breaking up?
No, it wasn't the kids. Her daughter, actually, it was a woman from Trinidad. Her daughter was in Trinidad, so it just didn't work out anyway. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, she had something to do with it. But nah, it wasn't that. It's just that, like you said, it just didn't work out, and then we just went our separate ways. But that was the only woman I dealt with that had kids and everything.
All right. Well, let me ask you: do you think would it bother you if you were dating a chick and she had a child and she was very close to that child's father? Would it bother you?
Nah, actually, you know what? It wouldn't bother me, because honestly, I would want the role of the father. You know, I want him to be in his life and everything, because I can't be a father. You know what I'm saying? I could be, you know, a male role model to him. I would hopefully that his daughter or son's life. You know, and be that father figure, because that's what it's supposed to be. It didn't work out, and he left, but I just hope that he would still continue to play a role, you know?
I feel you. Now, let me ask you a question, what we were just talking about just a second ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about this idea of being, like gay and stuff, and how the person ruined Chingy's name, and how the internet has allowed people to ruin. You used to couldn't ruin somebody's name as easy as you can now with the internet. How does that make you feel, knowing that you could be somebody like Chingy, work your whole life to build something for yourself, and literally somebody can ruin your life just by putting up a YouTube video lying about you?
Well, that's how the media is. You know, I mean, they they love to, well, they, what's the old saying? Someone coming, they praise you when you're coming up, but they love you when they build. They love to take you down. That's what they love. Look at Michael Jackson. They took him down. They took down so many people, man. It's just they love that. So to me, it's like this is how society do. They love it when someone falls. The people love it when a hero or a star falls. That's what they love. That's what they love the most. You know, it's like, oh wow, this is the greatest thing. Like what you see Lindsay Lohan. She's not in the media for her talent. She's in it because of her trouble. You know what I'm saying? And that's what fuels the media and fuels the talk and everything. It's not about how talented they are, you know, and that's the situation that's going on right now. So, you don't even have to be a chingy. I mean, you can have, I remember my ex-girlfriend, we and her got into an argument. She told me, yo, I can move your career. And I work as a social worker, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not like a star, but I believe she can. I mean, these are vindictive people out here. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be an athlete. You could just be a regular person with a great career, Nick, and people can ruin your career through social networks.
And I just want to say this. I'm watching the chat room, and these people are bothering me in the chat room. They know the man didn't sleep with the woman, yet they're still typing, or the transsexual. They're still typing it, and one of the person said, "Oh, we know he didn't. It's just funny to keep saying it."
But that's that rumor happened like back in 2004. It's amazing that they're still talking about that. That's like old. She came out.
She finally just came out and said that it wasn't true. But why is it fun? It's like if somebody accused me of molesting kids, then 10 years later, after my life has been fucking ruined, the kids come out and say I didn't do it, but people still find the shit hilarious? How's that funny?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. But you know what? Honestly, Tommy, man, I'm going to be straight up and down. I heard what you said earlier before. Maybe he didn't know, or maybe he just didn't care. I mean, it is what it is. But, yo, I mean, honestly, sometimes these trends, I don't know. Yeah, these trends are, they can, let me just say how medical has advanced. These guys that want to be women.
That nigga looked as good as any black woman I've seen. And for any black man to claim they wouldn't let that nigga give him some head if they didn't know, they lying their ass off. I've seen some of y'all niggas baby mama, and y'all baby mama look like wildebeest, but you had a nerve to sit up there and say, chingy gay.
And then on top of that, sometimes they get the operation when they make the penis into a vagina. So it's like, okay, now you can't really tell no more.
Half the bitches walking around got fake-ass breasts, so this damn tranny had real breasts. So why wouldn't you think the motherfucker was real?
That's what I'm saying. But you know what? This is how society is. And, I mean, we're living in, like, crazy times, man. I mean, it's bad. I mean, I was hearing about you talking about everything about how people in America are like sheeps and how the government can just do anything and just believe it. And it's true. I mean, look at all the events that happened. When you think about it, you scratch your head, well, how the hell that can happen? Like, I guess all the JFK assassination and RFK.
What's your phone doing, Raheem? Your phone's acting funny. You're going in and out.
My phone is acting up a little bit. I'm sorry. Just bear with me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You hear you clear now.
Yeah, you know, with the JFK assassination, RFK assassination, the Gaddafi. No one else, you know, I mean, it's like no one ever questions anything about what the government's doing, especially as a president, because here's the thing like this, everybody don't know. When he went to the UN to ask permission to go and do the airstrike, he didn't go straight to Congress. And no one ever questioned that or tried to impeach him because that was a violation right there. And then he told the Congress that he takes his orders from the UN. Never a president in history ever said that, you know? But this is a lot of stuff. But since he's like the first black president, you know, we're just going to just fall in line to what he says and everything. And this is why, you know, as I was saying, it's like they're leading the sheep to the slaughterhouse. And this is what's happening now. If you could see what's going on, this is what's actually happening, you know? I mean, there's so many stuff that's happening, like, especially the situation in Colorado and all this stuff. I mean, that whole situation didn't make no sense. I mean, they're saying that the kid kicked down the door and he just started spraying people, but then they're saying that there was two other people in there shooting up. So there's a lot of stuff that didn't make sense, but this is what's happening, man. But with the women and against the men and the men and the children against children, it's just sad, man. But I mean, but we've given them everything.
How to play the The government knows how to play the shell game than any of us, and that's what they're doing, playing the shell game.
Yeah.
Well, do me a favor. I hope to talk back to you later in the show, Raheem. I'm going to try to answer one more phone call before I go on. Let me answer Mark Anthony from the 561. What's up, Mark Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Not much, dog. You hear what we've been talking about. First off, I got a little upset. And let me ask you, do you understand my standpoint? Like, this guy's chingy got his career ruined. I don't find that funny at all.
No, man. It's not funny. Because the reason why I think people find that funny is because I don't think people like chingy to begin with. They sit around and find that stuff not funny.
So you saying because they didn't like him to start off with, that's probably why it don't matter.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, that's how black people are.
But I understand not liking somebody. Like, there are a lot of people, I don't like Tyler Perry. But I wouldn't sit up there and find it hilarious that somebody lied about him and he fell off. And then he come find out they were lying, but I still thought it was funny because I don't like Tyler Perry.
Yeah. I mean, Chopper, he's all right. I mean, some of the stuff he got is cool, but I'm not really a big fan,
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to me. Let me ask you about, do you have any children?
No, I don't.
Okay, I've talked to 4 black men in this show, and none of them have kids. So you guys are going literally against the stereotype. What's up with that?
It's how I was raised. I was brought up, if you're going to have kids with somebody, make sure it's the right person you're going to be with for the next 18 years.
That's what I love about my show. Say whatever you want to. I have some of the most classy, upstanding black males and females that call in. You see it, I know it'd be like one or two hood people that get through, and even them, they say they realize they hood and they want to change. But you don't, my show ain't a show full of stupid motherfuckers. That's why I don't have none of them Steve Harvey calls. I'm just saying, look at how boring this segment has become because every one of the men don't have any kids. But yet, every one of those men have dated women with kids. So I'm going to ask you and see if you can make it 4 for 4. Have you ever dated a woman with children?
Yes, I have.
So what this is basically saying is proving my point. A bunch of bitches are getting pregnant by the same dudes. Because how can all 4 of y'all say that y'all been with women with kids, but y'all don't have no kids? Isn't that proving my point?
Yeah, it's proving your point. I mean, the girl I was with, I mean, she was real cool. She had a daughter, and everything was cool starting out. But she kept having problems with her ex-husband at the time. And it's like every time I'm hanging out with her, chilling with her, talking to her, whatever, she would either get upset or start crying, whatever. I'm like, I'll try to calm her down, try to talk to her, but not to do or say, because that's not my problem. I'm not going to step in and try to do nothing about it. So eventually we broke up because she's saying that I'm not emotionally available for her and stuff like that. I'm like, look, you got a lot going on right now. You need to take care of yourself and your daughter and figure out what you want to do. If I'm still single down the line, then maybe we can meet up and whatever. But other than that, no. Come to find out, now she and her ex are back together.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So you're not really for that being friends. I thought about it a little bit, and I've been listening to myself talk. I'm really not very cool with you being friends with the person you had a baby with. I don't really care. I mean, you can be cool with them and cordial. I don't think you should be friends with them because they don't. I've heard that story happen a whole lot. My ex went back to her baby daddy. But used to claim she had no interest in him. Said that she looked at him like her little brother. Well, now you fucking your little brother, you nasty bitch.
I mean, that's the thing, though, because, see, a lot of times they say they won't get back with their ex or whatever, or if they want to be friends with them. You can't be friends with them. You can't. Because if you're going to be friends with them, it's going to lead to you, to both of them going to have feelings for each other and want to get back together with each other and all that stuff, especially with the guys. They claim they're gonna say, "Well, she on baby mama, she cool, whatever." But we're not together like that. But at the same time, whenever they go around, be with each other, you want to go to your house, get some ass from her, and then leave.
because to be honest, us as men, we like trying to get some free pussy. And baby mama is free pussy. It is. Yes, you had it before. The easiest woman to fuck is one you fucked. Every man knows this. The easiest woman for any man to fuck is one he has fucked.
Exactly.
Tell me I'm lying.
No, you're not lying, man, for real. You know, you're not lying. Because
you
I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
I tell you this. The girl I broke up with, whatever, me and her, we did get back together for a little while. I'm telling you, it was easy enough to get back with her. But then that was it. Because that one time that's with her, I was like, you know what? I can't do this because it's going to lead into me and her getting back together. And who knows if she came back with the ex at the same time. So I'm like, nah,
leave
us alone.
Yeah, and any girl that's willing to get back with you after you've been with them before, she's gotten back with other people she was with. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Think about it. She would have done something she's uncomfortable with. Most women are comfortable fucking somebody they fucked before. That's why, as a man, we know all we got to do is fuck a woman once. That's why we work so hard to fuck them once. Because we know if we fuck them once, they'll always allow us to kind of fuck them again. Almost every girl I've ever slept with has hit me up on Facebook and tried to give me some more pussy. Everyone. Bitches, I forgot I fucked. Seriously. I was like, I don't know you, bitch.
Oh, man.
So I'm with you guys on that one, Mark Anthony. I'm going to tell you what. I would love for you to be able to talk a little bit. We're about to get ready to go into my interview with Mr. Tim Alexander. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back. But I'm telling y'all, now I'm starting to – we're going to ask Tim about this. Because now I'm confused. My mind is all in a whirl. So I'm confused about how this is going and where this is going. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back in just a second and get y'all thoughts on not only this, but more. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know what this is. Act like you know. And if you don't, then fuck it. Just sit back and relax, because this is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio, with your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
I'm the product of an inappropriate teacher-student relationship.
But 30 years later...
Todd, your old man is here.
Voila!
They're starting over.
You were the worst parent ever.
You let me eat cake and lollipops for breakfast every day.
That's what you asked for.
You're supposed to say no.
I don't even know how to ride a bike.
I promise I'll never, ever forget you again.
I'm doing it!
Yeah. Oh, my God!
That's my boy, Rated R.
A lot of people are buying the Hyundai Sonata, and they're telling us why inside the Boost.
My 2012 Sonata is the best car in America.
Every single detail on that car I love.
This car gets great gas mileage.
A company that stands behind its product.
Keep the cake process.
More upfront, better warranty.
Hello? That was my mother-in-law.
I think she was going to tell you about the lease. It's just $199 a month at your local Hyundai dealer. You said it, we heard it in the Booth.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Ever since we were introduced to the Trojan Vibrating Twister, our love life has become routine.
We come home from work.
We change out of our work clothes.
Tidy up a bit.
Grab a bite.
Kick off our shoes. And go straight to bed.
You know, same thing. Every day.
Get ready to spice things up with the Trojan Vibrating Twister, a personal massager with three pulse patterns, four unique twistable positions, and five speeds. It's made with trusted Trojan quality.
You can twist it in different positions for different experiences.
It's powerful in the best possible way.
We said that we were going to spice things up, and we definitely did.
It's a great gift.
Give your routine a new twist. Call or go to TrojanVibrations.com. Get Twister for yourself or as a gift with discreet free shipping. Get the Trojan Vibrating Twister right now at TrojanVibrations.com.
Wednesday on an all-new I Almost Got Away With It. A strung-out meth dealer murders his partner.
Got him in a headlock and we let him go. He was lifeless.
And hides out until his sister turns him in.
I was scared for him because I knew he was on something.
But when he makes a perilous escape from jail,
I climbed up there and dove for it.
It leads to a risky surrender.
I get to see these little red dots and it dawns on me that I got a bunch of guns pointed on me.
I Almost Got Away With It. All new Wednesday at 9, only on Investigation Discovery.
It's the way you bring out the sun. It's the way you make it all fun.
Know who makes the day sunny? My mom and Sunny D. I love the taste. Mom loves the vitamin C. And now it has 40% fewer calories than most regular soda brands. Sunny D.
Drink up and download free music. Find out more at SunnyD.com.
It's new! It's Nice and Easy Color Blend Foam. Permanent color with tones and highlights now in a delightful foam.
Just reshape.
Foam it. Love it.
It's fantastic.
New Nice and Easy Color Blend Foam. Your right color.
Nobody saw it coming. Not even me. But I think they call this family time. I won't tell them that. Get the Wii console plus Mario Kart Wii, a Wii wheel accessory, and more. Now for just $149.99. Rated E for everyone.
I'm Phil Mickelson, pro golfer. If you have painful, swollen joints, I've been in your shoes. One day I'm on top of the world. The next I'm saying,
I have this thing called psoriatic arthritis. I had some intense pain. It progressively got worse.
My rheumatologist told me about Enbrel. I'm surprised how quickly my symptoms have been managed.
Because Enbrel suppresses your immune system, it may lower your ability to fight infections. Serious, sometimes fatal events, including infections, tuberculosis, lymphoma, other cancers, and nervous system and blood disorders have occurred. Before starting Enbrel, your doctor should test you for tuberculosis and discuss whether you've been to a region where certain fungal infections are common. Don't start Enbrel if you have an infection like the flu. Tell your doctor if you're prone to infections, have cuts or sores, have had hepatitis B, have been treated for heart failure, or if while on Enbrel, you experience persistent fever, bruising, bleeding, or paleness.
Get back to the things that matter most.
Good job, girls.
Ask your rheumatologist if Enbrel is right for you.
Don't worry, Lucky. These Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks will save us.
Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks. Try our new flavors.
You know, there's so many great things about being a...
And now, back to the show where truth is king and logic reigns supreme. Your world, my view. Your hope, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. This is your world. Thank you guys for joining the show here.
Looking to have a little bit of fun. If you can see me, what's up? We're getting ready to go into our interview with Mr. Tim Alexander. And let me get these headphones off me. I don't need these headphones. I can hear them loud and clear if they have it set up right. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to this. He came on last October, I think it was, and we had a great conversation. And for the guys and girls who don't know, he is a director, writer, and producer of a film titled, well, his most known for a film is titled Diary of a Tired Black Man, which basically has a black man dealing with a lot of what some people call stereotypical vantage points. But what a lot of black men were saying, hey, I relate to this 100%. And, you know, he, like me, got flack for it. But he's evolved and become a different director. He did a movie with Rolando Watson. Let him tell you about that. As well as I'm sure he has some other stuff coming up. We want to talk to him about that. And I definitely want to talk to him about a letter that he wrote. And he put it on Facebook today. And it's kind of what we've been talking about at the beginning of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'd like to bring in my man, Mr. Tim Alexander. Tim, what's happening with you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. How am I coming through?
You're good.
All right, good deal. Well, I want to start off with asking you about your film, the one that you did with Rolando Watts, and it was your follow-up to Diary of a Tired Black Man. How did that film go, and what made you decide to make that film?
Well, that was interesting. When my divorce happened, my cousin's wife had written a gospel stage play. And they gave it to me, and I said, let me look at it and turn it into a screenplay. So as a way of dealing with the drama, I just submerged myself in and converting the stage play to a screenplay, and it was supposed to originally take place in one room. And I kind of broke it out and gave it a bigger life, a few more characters. And so we created A Mother's Love together. And the film has had a pretty amazing impact on people that have seen it. It doesn't have the same edgy visceralness of Diary of a Tired Black Man, because this is actually a gospel film, so it doesn't have any profanity in it. But the message hit just as hard. I mean, it's a really profound message. And the way the first film dealt with angry black woman syndrome, this film kind of deals with angry tongue syndrome. And Rolanda Watts' character allowed her tongue to pretty much destroy everything for her and everybody around her. And it's a good message to help people to see, and especially women to see, that if you don't handle your business the right way and you're not fair, it can come back on you. And she was pursuing her career, her stuff, her car, her home. And because she was making more money than her husband, she felt she didn't need him anymore, so she walked away from him. Her daughter was affected by the breakup, so she started using drugs. Instead of thinking about her daughter's need, she kicked her out of the house because she stole something. Her mother lived in the house with her. Rolanda's character's mother lived in the house with her. And she had already made that mistake and walked away from her father, Rolanda's father, when she was younger. So now she's using God's word and prayer to try to help her see that her selfishness is going to destroy her family. And what the core message is, women need to understand that on the other side of 50, your career does not define you. The quality of your family does. By the time you figure that out, you squander your youth chasing men in your career, and then when your family's all messed up, there's not really a doggone thing you can do about it except sit and watch them go through it and pray.
Wow. I mean, that's deep. Now, was this something that, because we're talking about going from bitter to better, and you are a perfect candidate to come on here because of the type of movies that you've done as far as how different they are. And how you've gone through this personal tragedy of losing someone in your own life and how you moved on from it. Was one of the things you used, as you said, you immersed it in it. Did you put some of the things in this movie, A Mother's Love? Did you put some of the things in this movie that were coming from your personal life?
I did develop the male character a lot more than he originally was supposed to be, almost to the point where the original playwright, my cousin Carolyn, was a little bit taken because she felt like it was a little bit too much emphasis on him as a man. But I said that really has to be there. And it turned out to be a good decision because it gave a lot more dimension to the film. What I was going through, it's interesting. I don't know if I evolved as much as I held the course because I always had a long-range plan.
I made tire black nails before I met my wife. We got together right at the time I finished the movie. And then when we broke up, the movie was already out in the marketplace. And then this other film kind of came up. So, you know, yeah, there's film evolution, but mainly I had a long-range plan all along to shake people up, and that's why I named my new company Learning Through Conflict Pictures. And I find that that's really the way we're wired to learn. I've asked people more than once, have you learned more from love and positivity about life and love, or have you learned more from drama? And almost unanimously, it's the challenges and the trials that build us, make us stronger, and give us character. That's even the way God teaches us. Whenever we get out of alignment with God, he sends some trauma on our behind, you know, and that's what teaches us. That's why we're addicted to reality TV. So I realize you cannot take a positive, good message and show people what they should be doing and just present it like that. They won't even watch it. So I created Learning Through Conflict Pictures and said, I'm going to give you all the conflict you crave. I'm going to embed a message that you can't escape. And it's been very, very positive in the way these films are being received.
Well, I like that. And it's like, even with me, people wonder why I deliver my message. And you and I, we deliver our message completely different, because mine is more of a, like you, you're not cussing people out. You're not, but me, I'm all out of bounds. My mama's ashamed. But I, yeah, at the end of the day, I have people who could not stand me, not only come back and say, you know what, after 3 months of whatever it was, or seeing what it was you were doing, I actually know what it is you're doing. I have people who are, went from they couldn't stand me to their clients inside of my counseling. And it's one of those things where I've always known, and I come from a pastor's, I come from a church background, and I am the son of pastors. And I noticed that the same thing that you just mentioned, that in the Bible, every time a lesson was learned, it always came after some type of conflict, after some type of trauma. The Bible is full of
the entire Bible is trauma. The entire Bible is almost blunt force trauma. They went through everything, turning into salt and getting flooded.
You look at Lot, Saul, all of these people
coming down from heaven. I mean, oh my God. Coming out
and so it's funny. I want to ask you about your Diary of a Tired Black Man and the type of reception you got. And then I'm going to go back into the letter you wrote today, because it just reminded me so much of me in that letter. And I want you to talk about that more, because before you came on, we had people talking about how they feel about people being close to their exes. But I want to ask you about the Diary of a Tired Black Man. Did at a certain point you feel like maybe you went overboard and you tried and you thought maybe you were too hard on women? Did you ever get shaken from your message?
When I made it, I was unsure. I came from a Christian background, pastor, son, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, as you already mentioned, I'm not much into cussing and screaming. So normally that wouldn't have been the first thing I would have thought about in making a movie. But I realized that the people that you really need to reach usually don't talk nice. They're like the foulest comedians they can hear, they can listen to. They want the most vulgar music they can listen to.
Yep.
And I realized if you don't speak their language, it ain't going to hit them. So I said, instead of anesthetizing, let me go ahead and take it full tilt and just unleash it and let it do what it do. But the message is so clear and loud that we need to really look at women, because it was, until then, it was a finger pointing, you know, festival of everything that goes wrong is a man and women are just innocent saints. You know, so at some point I was scared. I'm like, oh, the church folks are going to, they're going to go berserk when they see I made this. But actually, a lot of pastors wrapped their arms around it and even showed it, you know, to their congregation. I've got psychologists that recommend it in their practice. And, you know, they're saying that's exactly what it needs to be. That's exactly what it is. You know, so I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah. I guess I didn't overstep the line after all. But, yeah, it's a very aggressive film.
Yeah, it is a scary thing to put something out there like that, because at the end of the day, you do want it to be well received, because people who have a message, and that's what I wanted people to understand, a person who's actually trying to give a message actually wants that message to be received. A person that's just trying to cause conflict, they don't really care. They just want a conflict to occur. But you seem to be like me, like you had a message and you didn't want the message to be overshadowed by the fact that people were taken aback to it. Now going forward into your learning through conflict, how do you balance those two?
Well, first people have to be interested. The first rule in advertising is make people look. Then after they look, then sell them the product. If I can create enough conflict where people are like, ooh, this is good. Ooh, look what they got into. They're hooked. Then it's up to me to make sure that once I take them on that ride, that they land someplace profound that they never could have seen coming. And when they step back, they say, wait a minute. That movie had nothing to do with the people on the screen. That was me. And these movies are like a boomerang. They're like a mirror. When you look at them, you just sit there and you cannot escape looking at yourself and watching your life play out in front of you. I don't know why they do that. I mean, I made them. I still don't even know why they do that. I guess that's the way I think. But when I watch it, it does it to me, you know. So they're just really powerful like that. And I realized that God gave me a special ministry, because ministry is not just standing in the pulpit and talking to the same, you know, 300 people every Sunday, or however big your church is. But if we don't go out where the people are at and deal with the people who really need some help, the people in the church, they're not getting a whole lot better, they're not getting a whole lot worse. Well, let's go out and get the ones that we definitely know can use a little bit of tightening up. And even the people in the church can use a whole lot of tightening up. So, and when they're not in church, a lot of times their media habits and diet are no different than the secular world. So I just said, hey, you know, I know it doesn't seem Christian-like, but I'm going to throw all caution to the wind and make it like it needs to be made.
And well, I like that. Well, yeah, and there needs to be more people like that, and we hope to keep putting out great programming like that that allows us to think in real-world terms, because that's one of the things that I talked about with T.D. Jakes. He was like, well, you can't sit around and preach in the clouds all day when the people who need you are on the earth. And that is true. You cannot look at the world as no conflict is happening when that's not true. When even if you did put out plays like that and everybody went to those plays, when they go home, their lives don't look like that play. So it still doesn't ring true to them. I want to ask you.
Cussing each other out, right. You know, and I call the churches now that they become like Jesus Christ social clubs. And, you know, and they're not really going in and doing the surgery that they need to do in people's souls and spirits. Because they want to give them what they want, which is prosperity doctrine. I don't go to church to learn about how to rub the magic God genie lamp, God Jesus genie lamp, to see what kind of stuff I can get. And then as soon as I get it, I go put it all back in church. I mean, what's that about? You know, I'm going there to find out how to get my soul right and live to the fullest as a child of God, you know, so I can be as blessed as I can be here and make sure I'm really blessed when I get out of here. Because whatever we're building up is corruptible. Who needs this crap?
Ladies and gentlemen, just to make sure you know that voice you hear and who have just given a few verbal slaps to a lot of what's going on around in you, in your, I would say, in your religious life, because what it is more religious than spiritual, because most of you guys are going back and forth to church, doing the same thing over and over again. As he said, you got a lot of people who have become spiritually stagnant. They've been doing the same thing for the last 20 years. And what it is like you said, a lot of this prosperity preaching, I really don't understand it. I've always said it's a little weird to me. When I was little and I was young, and I remember when they used to get up and they'd give that tithers, whatever it was, the person would get up there and say, we tithed last week and we didn't know where we were going to get the money to pay our bills. Well, we paid our tithes anyway, and we got money to pay our bills. And then everybody would run up there and tithe. And I kept thinking, that doesn't make sense. What they're basically saying is bribe God.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It felt strange to me, and I was a child, and it felt strange. And to hear you say that makes me feel good that I'm not the only one who says, I don't know, we need to be helping their souls and helping them get together and do right by what God says instead of always telling them. Go ahead.
I mean, I know tithes and offerings, but I don't know where that came from, that if you put the $100 in, you're going to get a special blessing, you know, and stand over here, and you guys are going to get a special blessing. I don't know where the heck that came from. I couldn't find it in no Bible.
I didn't either. And I remember hearing the pastor say that when they didn't get enough money, he would sit up there and say, everybody that gives $10 right now or $20 or whatever it is, you done put a price on their special blessing.
And God gave me a special message. He told me that today the first 10 people to put in $100, he's going to bless them mercifully and bountifully, and he's going to give them all the desires of their heart. And hey, you're going to go and open your mailbox, and God's going to, what are you talking about? Where did you get that from?
You know the good thing about saying that, though, Tim, is when you don't get it, they can always blame it on the fact that you must have been doing something wrong. That's why you didn't get your blessing. It's a win-win situation.
It's bondage.
Yep.
But anyway, let's go back to the topic.
We about to get in trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Tim about to get me in more trouble than I've been in this week. We're going to go on to this note that you wrote, Tim, and I loved it. And the reason I loved it, because it rang true to what was going on with me. And maybe this will be like therapeutic for you to be able to explain this and explain how you even got to the point of writing this note. But let me just read it to the people who didn't get a chance to see it. I was perusing around before the show because I got to get a lot of ideas from Facebook and online and whatnot. And I saw something that Tim had posted on his page, and it says it was a note that he sent to his ex-wife today. And he says he really did send this. It's not made up or trying to get some attention or make it seem like he's a nice guy or whatever. But he sent this note, and here's what it says. You know what the happiest day in my life was? Being in the hospital with you when you gave me Alan and Brandon. And I held them for the first time, and I was there to witness how hard you worked and almost gave your life to give them to me. Thank you. And I will always love you and honor you for that alone. I just had to tell you that. And be blessed. And congratulations on your progress and your new place. Respectfully, Tim. I am truly forever grateful. And her response to Tim was, you're welcome and thank you. Now, I'll ask you before we even get into the questions that I asked the audience.
Dang,
what
you made
you
cry when you read that?
When I read it myself, I was like, I hope he's listening, so he need to film me and he need to put me in the next movie. I did it pretty good.
I'm like, wow, that's kind of deep. I mean, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I just write what's in my heart and what I feel, and sometimes I look back at certain things and I'm like, I wrote that? Dang.
Yeah, it was very nice. That's why when I saw it. Let me tell you, when I saw it, it reminded me of me because, let me tell you, I sent the same message to my – and I was like, you're scared to send it. Let me ask you, is that what was going through your mind? Because you don't want them to think, well, I'm still trying to hit it. You're really trying to be genuine.
I'm not trying to nothing. I'm good. I know it's probably met with some skepticism, but, you know, it's like I was just sitting here really appreciating the fact that, you know, that, I don't know why, it just crossed my brain. That was the happiest day of my life. I remember being in the hospital, and at that time, you know, we were all in love and stuff, and these new babies, and it was just like the greatest day.
Yep.
I just decided to say it.
And my daughter's six, and I said it, and that's why it rang so true to me, because my daughter's six, and I said that to my daughter's mom last week. I sent her that same message. And I was like you. I was like, I don't want her to come across. I don't want her to go show it to her boyfriend. Now I'm fighting when I go get the baby. I don't want her to come across wrong. But I do want to say, I look at this little girl, and every time I look at my little girl, she looks like a mom. And then I think about how much I care about this girl and how she's the best fucking thing ever. Excuse my French, but she just is. Like, when my daughter's not here with me, I feel like lonely. Like when I speak to her all the time, I tell her how much I miss her, how much I miss her being here. Like when she's here, I sleep better. When she's here, I eat better. When she's here, it's just weird. So why not give that person thanks? So that's what I did. Is that what you were thinking as well?
Yeah, you know, people need to appreciate it while they can actually hear it. You know, and I don't care who you are and what's going on in your day and your world, how good your life is, how good it isn't. Just to know that somebody said thank you. And, you know, and meant it and didn't want anything for it, and there was no, you know, strings. And, you know, the only reason I shared it was not to be self-aggrandizing or to try to win brownie points. You know, I made my life a completely open book, the good, the bad, the ugly. Go to Facebook/Tim Alexander LA or look up filmmaker Tim Alexander. You can find out how every little piece of crap I've been through is up there. So that's a part of my life too, you know, appreciation. And, you know, I got nothing to hide. It's like, I don't care. Bible says, you know, your life should be an open book. So, hey, my book is as open as you can get. What you want? Want my phone number? Here, you can have it. I don't care.
I got no agenda. I got nothing to hide. I ain't running for nobody for nothing. I am what I am. You know, some of that's most of that. I try to make it good, and some of it, maybe not. I am what I am.
Well, all right, Tim. Well, I brought the shovel, so I'm going to start digging. And this is a nice show. What we're talking about is going from bitter to better. Now, I went through a divorce. It was over 10 years ago. So, I mean, I had a lot that I had to get through. First off, just the whole divorce thing, because I didn't want the divorce. I was shocked when I was presented with the divorce. And, you know, a whole lot of things went through. My mind went through how, you know, just so much went through. And it's easy for me now to explain it to people and try to help people. But let me ask you, I mean, what was your situation? What happened to your marriage? How did you end up getting to the point where it was dissolved? And then how did you get to a point, if you are to that point, where you've gotten better?
It was a comedy of errors. I'm definitely better. I've been better. I was better as soon as we got out did the final court battle. I never wanted it. But, you know, unfortunately, when a woman says, I want to leave you, and there's you, her, your two kids, and her two kids, there's six people, and she makes a unilateral decision for everybody in the household, there's nothing you can do about it. So the only thing was she wasn't taking my kids. And at the time, she was angry, scared. She had the whole contingency of angry, vindictive females all in her ear at the same time internationally.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the woman's leaving, then they're told kill, kill, destroy, level the man, take everything you can get, don't leave him nothing, take your babies and bone. That was a big mistake. That wasn't happening. So we fought a vicious one-year battle, and she wanted full legal and physical custody and wanted me to come up with it was messy. And I'm like, no, this ain't happening. You know, I had no animosity against her. The relationship had it had melted down. And you know,
how
I'm not
long were you
to
married?
Trash. We're married about 2 years, 2 years and 8 months. I'm not trying to trash her, but the thing is, my mother and father were still together. Her mother and father never got married. I was her second marriage, her third baby's father. This is my first marriage, my first kid. I'm 48. She's 34. So, you know, read between the lines, you know.
You know I'm going to go there. I'll let you finish, but I got to go there because I asked the brother early. I don't know if you were listening. There were a bunch of brothers, and I was like, you know how we always get pinned with the y'all have a bunch of kids y'all don't take care of. Well, when I asked this question, there were five male callers, and each one of those males had no kids, were college educated, and had a career, and yet each one of them said they were dating women with kids. So I kept thinking, if there are more men without kids, but the women keep having kids, why are the men dating the women with kids? So you got to tell us, you got to explain, because people need to understand, it's not just us regular guys, it's all guys who are faced with this idea. Usher did the same thing. What makes a guy that says, say we're going to take on that? What made you comfortable with that situation?
When you really have love in you, you have enough love to cover everybody that needs it. It's very difficult to find a woman past a certain age that doesn't have kids. And if they don't, a lot of times they have certain other issues like selfishness or not all women, of course, but a lot of times they're too caught up in their career, they're too this or too that. And it's just a delicate balance. There are a lot of women who really wanted to be good women. They just got off to a flying start with the wrong ones before they were mature, and they have babies with people they shouldn't have been with, you know. And there are a lot of factors that contribute to why it didn't work. After the children, I think that she went through a very bad postpartum that wasn't really looked at that way. And, of course, you can never say that you're going through some hormonal challenges because that's, like, the worst thing you can say. I don't know why. It's, like, true. It's like if I say, hey, you're having a hormone imbalance, I'm giving you a pass. I'm saying that's not you acting that crazy. But if you say that's worse than anything else you can say. Most bizarre thing, ladies, I don't understand that. Why can't I say, baby, you're being a little bit kind of wound up. Are you, like, about to start your cycle? What is wrong with saying that?
But you know what it is? And especially in our community, a lot of it is this idea of having to deal with an outside entity. You know, we don't take that, the mind people, as my old grandma would say, the mind people talking to you and messing around with you and giving you some mind-altering medicine. We don't like that, because whenever you start talking about something about emotions and you start dealing with hormone imbalance and stuff like that, then people start thinking you kind of call them crazy.
No, everybody knows that women have a period, and everybody knows that usually, for some reason, they need a good cry.
Yep.
And quite often, a fight will ensue. Come on, we know what time it is, both male and female. When a woman has a period, you can expect her to cry. And that's usually in a fight with you. You know,
and you're right.
Nobody said any CIA operatives are trying to give them some drug to mess up their brain. It's the hormones that are in their body.
Yep.
You know,
and then what I found out with a lot of women is that they don't want you. And what I found out with a lot of women is they don't want you to think that they're getting close to that, you know, when they're about to hit menopause. They think if you're bringing that stuff up, then maybe. And it's like so many things that you have to deal with a woman that's delicate, because she thinks it's like they want to think three steps forward. Have you ever noticed if you ask a woman something, she wants to know why you're asking, because she thinks there's an end game to that one question?
Well, women complicate things because our thought patterns are very different. Men function from a logical-based thought pattern, and women function from emotions. And everything with them has to be decoded and sent through an emotional filter. It goes in black and white, and then it goes through this myriad of color filters as it passes from one to another to another. And then they have to reinterpolate that and then convert it back into another format, blah, 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 to try to make sense out of it. Where a man, it is what it is. He says what he means, unless he's lying. But if he's not lying, he says what he means, and that's it. But they try to read more into it. What do you really mean? And then when you're trying to find out what they really mean, you don't really get what they really mean. So it's really a error in our communication styles. And that's what the battle of the sexes is. You know, we just see things completely different. You know, when women are telling you about their problems, they don't really want you to be logical and answer it and give them advice or good instruction
yep.
of what they should do to fix it. They just want you to sit there and listen like you're a girlfriend. I'm not your girlfriend.
And
I don't want you to sit and listen
to
hours and hours and not have a solution. If you bring a problem to me, I'm going to tell you how to fix it.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Tim, more important than listening to them, they want you to side with them. I tried that, just listening
right.
and not saying nothing once. And she thought, so you think I'm wrong? And I didn't even say nothing.
Right, and then if you fixed it and give them the absolute solution on what they should do to fix it, then you're controlling them.
Yep.
It's like, go figure. I'm not controlling them. I'm going to help you.
It is the craziest thing. And ladies and gentlemen, we're live with producer, director, and writer, Mr. Tim Alexander. And one of the things that he went through is something that I wrote about when I was talking about the whole Usher situation. And a lot of times, and you guys know that my biggest thing is men's rights and this whole equality thing. And you touched on it, Tim, and I would hope you'd be able to elaborate on it. Because it, kind of the same thing was happening with Usher. You're with this woman, and all of a sudden, when she leaves, she wants to make a unilateral decision about the children and basically cut you out, or almost cut you out. And it's weird, because if a man fights, he's the bad guy. It's like we're just supposed to be happy to get 2 days, 2 weekends, every other weekend. And that's not being a father. If I only see my child 2 days every other weekend, that's 4 days a month.
Yeah, I made it clear. I'm like, these kids are not going to not be raised by their father. We traced my family tree back to 1825, and there hasn't been a broken line of men in my family on either of my parents' side since the early 1800s.
Nice.
And so I'm raised by a man who was raised by a man who was raised by a man, and I'm a man raising my sons. So I understand what man is. I'm a 1960 style raised by a man. I ain't no punk. I'm not one of these little mama-raised guys who are kind of like looking the part. I actually know what manhood is. And when women say they want a man to stand and be a man, they really don't, because most of them do not know what manhood is. And the fatal mistake that I made, which I would usually advise someone else, and it's still hard to take that advice because there's so many different distractions, is I tell women all the time, if you want a man, and you grew up with your father in the house, you owe it to yourself to find a man that grew up with his father in the house. Nothing else will do. And there's some exceptions. I'm not going to rag on the brothers who have made it work, but for the most part, there's very slim pickings. You know, usually it takes, and if it wasn't his father in the home, it had to be a good stepfather, a good grandfather,
yep.
a good uncle, a good preacher, a good somebody. But a man cannot model his manhood after his mother. Mothers don't hand out man balls. They can teach you how to clean the room and how to wash your body, how to get some good grades, maybe how to clean up around the house, but she can't teach you how to think like a man. And what woman wants a man that doesn't think like a man?
And why do you think so many black men are very emotional creatures now? That's why black men will fly off the handle in a second, because they were raised by a mother who flew off the handle in a second.
Right. And being biologically 18 plus does not exactly make you a man. It makes you a guy. It makes you a grown adult.
Makes you legally responsible.
Right. But a man is a state of being. A man commands a certain amount of respect. There's some power in being a man, a real man. And so when a boy has to model his manhood after his mother, grandmother, and aunties and them, you know, he knows how to shave his legs, maybe, you know, pluck his eyebrows, you know. He knows all the girly conversations about, you know, tampons and what these boys did to him and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, come on. You know, and when men and women raise children, my sons adore me. They jump on me and body slam, and every time somebody comes over, they want to sock me as hard as they can and say, look how hard I can hit my daddy. And I stand there and take it, and they bounce off my head, and not with your mother. Because mothers don't do that. So how is a boy supposed to exercise his physicality and learn his boundaries and learn how to protect and defend and be his whole man self unless he's got that wall to hit? And every once in a while, you got to hurt him too. But, you know, so they can understand how it all works. But mothers are like, you know, and then when they fall on and get hurt, I'm like, boy, get up. That wasn't nothing. Mother, oh, you hurt yourself, baby. Oh, oh, oh. No. So what happens is you either get some little punk who's all soft around the edges, whether he's gay or not, he's still soft around the edges. You can't tell. I mean, I see these young boys, I'm like, dude, you like wee-wees or woo-woos or what do you like? I can't even tell. You know?
You're right.
Or they go out in the streets and find their manhood out with other fatherless boys. And they express themselves by busting heads. But either they're going to turn soft, or they're going to turn soft. One or the other.
But do you understand what you're saying? You've said something that I've said the whole time. That's why most black men are hyper-masculine. Because they don't know how to be men. So their only ways is to be this extra soft or this overly hard.
Right, and they can't balance it. And they should be exactly both. But they can't balance it. I'm gentle, but I will wreck shop if you mess with it.
it should be that way.
Yeah.
And have you noticed that men, and the one thing is, I said this in the last show, and people got mad at me when I said it, and somebody sent me a message and said, well, you were raised by your mother. How dare you say that? I said exactly what you just said. I said, ladies, you want to find, because somebody said, well, if you want to find a good man, watch how he treats his mother. I said, no, you watch how he treats his father.
Watch how he treats his father, you know? I was raised with my mother and father. If I didn't have my father, I wouldn't have been worth a piece of donkey crap. I wouldn't have been worth nothing at all. No disrespect to my mother, but I wouldn't have been nothing. She couldn't have raised me. You know, and people have to realize that men are built by men. They're not built by nothing else. And a lot of times when a woman will raise a successful man, she'll take all the credit. Oh, look, I raised my son. He's da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, he may have a good job and blah, 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 but is he man enough to really run his household? Or if he is man enough to run his household, well, which one of his stepfathers or new boyfriends that you had or uncle or whoever did he really model after? Because it wasn't you.
Yep.
It's not possible.
And
they want to take all the credit. Just because the biological father
wasn't
there, it doesn't matter about the stepfather. They want to take all the credit.
Well, let me say this, too. Not only do they want to take all the credit, but when he turns out to be Brian Nichols and he murdering everybody in the courtroom, they say it's because his daddy wasn't there. So when he turns out to be LeBron James and he's dunking on everybody, it's because his mama was a good mama. If he turns out to be a killer, it's because his daddy wasn't there. It's like us as men, we can never catch a break. And the fact that I'm so glad that you said what you said, because so many of us men don't know how to do what it is you did, which is fight, because we're so used to having a woman tell us what to do from the time we were little and never hearing a man's voice. Have you noticed that a black man will tremble at the voice of another woman, but another man will right. fight a man in a minute because we're not used to that voice telling us nothing.
Right. And so they're complete. The only way a woman can successfully raise a boy is to emasculate him to a certain degree.
Yep.
And here's something, ladies, hear this and hear this good. Once your son becomes a mid-level teenager, the only way you can discipline him is if he allows it. And really put that in perspective. The last time my mother gave me a spanking, I was born in 59. We used to get our butts beat with a belt. It was all good. Last time she spanked me, I don't know what I did, but she spanked. I'm like, today is the last day. I'm done with this. I stood there and crossed my arms, and she spanked until she was exhausted and had to go take a nap and get in the bed. I said, I ain't crying. And I didn't cry. I just took the ball off. Like, that's all you got, lady? Then my daddy came home. Now, my daddy got home. There was a welling and a gnashing of teeth. I cried good, long, and hard. I outgrew my mother. I said, Mama, this is it. This is the last day that you're going to be able to do this with me. I ain't doing that with you anymore. Now, if my father was not in my life, I would have continued in that pattern. I would have got worse and worse and worse and more aggressive and more, you can't hurt me, what you going to do?
Oh, you are so right, and I've never had anybody put it that way, but you are right. I've been thinking it, but I've never had anybody put it that way. You're like,
and if he allows his mother to discipline him, then he has effectively been emasculated, and he is submitted. And
damn.
It's just like in the Jewish faith. Once that boy has his bar mitzvah, the mother can't discipline him anymore because he's now a man. If something has to be said to him, I'll say it. Not you, because you're a woman, and women don't exert authority over men.
Damn. And I had somebody say in the last show, they called in, they said, a woman can't raise a man. They said, knives sharpen knives. Knives are sharpened by knives.
Right. Now, see, when a woman disciplines a man, she emasculates him. So either he feels bad, gets angry, or turns into a punk. When a senior man disciplines a junior man, he just got his butt checked. And he knows.
Yep.
And he's looking at what he's going to be one day. He ain't going to fall on that. That's a real man. Unless I think I can kick this behind, I better stand down. But the mother, it's like, lady, please. Or if I do stand down, I've given you my balls.
But don't you think that goes back into how you said at the end of your divorce, I'm going to fight? Don't you know that most men don't fight that when they're told you can only see your child for 4 days a month? We don't fight it because we're used to, like you said, as teenagers being forced to stand down. You took the venom out of the cobra.
Man, I got accused of molesting my kids, took them to the doctor, had the police come to my house at midnight to see if I'm molesting my kids, like I'm going to open the door with their penis in my mouth or something. I don't know what kind of stupidity that was. And she did an emergency ex parte to have the kids removed from my custody and wanted me to put up a $5,000 bond to see my children and be able to see them one day a week with paid supervision on a Sunday for 5 hours. And I stood in the court and said, in a day and age when people say the black men don't take care of their kids, I got to stand here and beg for my own children to have my last name, 50% of my DNA. I cut the umbilical cord. I was there every day of their life. I fed them every bottle they ate for the first 2 months. While you rest and got their strength back? Are you kidding me? I said, I will not take 1 second less than 50% of the time. She lied and set a court order. What are you going to say?
I said, I've never understood that. What you just said just made me angry because so many brothers go through that. The ones that want to be in their kids' life after you done had the media shoved down our fucking throats from the time we were little, being told that we don't take care of our kids. As soon as one does, they go through every damn thing they possibly can to keep him from them kids. That makes no sense.
Right. And so, you know, and that was the chicken coop in her ear, you know, because, I mean, and so... I I said, no, this ain't going to happen. I said, I will fight. No, I'm not going to do that. So it was a long battle without an attorney, and we were taking shots at each other and trying to show why the other one was better than the other one. But, you know, I was actually there. So there's a court order saying that she had the kids. I can only see them on certain times. I found out there was no such court order. So I took the kids and I held them for 3 months. There's no court order. There's no court order in either direction. So I held them long enough to equalize the time. So then that way when we went in, it's not like, oh, they're with the mother more. No. Don't tell me I can't take care of my kids. I successfully had them for 3-4 months. So what you going to say now? Now, you know, that kind of angered the judge a bit, but I'm like, Your Honor, she was lying and said she had a court order. I made the time up. What's the problem? You know, so yeah. I had to go in hard, you know, and, you know, I'm going to fight like a man. You know, so
yeah, I had to do the same thing, and that was funny. I took my daughter because she had tried that mess of not letting me see my daughter, so I got my daughter and I kept her. And then
right.
she
and
came
now,
over.
When she left, she didn't even tell me she was going. It took the kids. I didn't even know where they were for 2 weeks. She knew I had them and wasn't giving them back. I wasn't being
about it. Well, that's what I did. I told her she came over my house with the police and everything, and the police did the same thing you just said. He said,
"There's no
order. Has there been any order that's been set that who has went?" And then he told her, he has this right, as much right to this child as you until there's some order in place. And she stood there crying with the police, and I shut the door. Because if you wanted to play this game, not enough men do what it is you and I did, which was say, I'm not going to let you push me out of my kid's life. Why do you think
men, listen to me. If all these women can be single parents, so the heck can you. Don't think that it's some magic thing where women have to have the kids 5 days a week and you get them too. You know, no. If you want your child, then you go and you make sure the time you separate that you take your equal time.
Yep.
If you have to take more time and show them that you are an active father in your child's life, because all they're doing is they're not telling you, but they're adding up days and who had the kids the most. They set up a precedent of the kids are used to being with the mother. So now you're out. You're a secondary parent. And then after a long, hard fight, I was closing in on her, and then the time was, she only had a maybe 3.5 days a month more than I did. I was closing in on 50-50. And the day before we went in for our final court battle, she filled out a new declaration and said, in the best interest of the children, they need to spend more time with their father. They need to spend 50% of the time with their father. I don't want any child support, no spousal support. Before, she was getting $1,600. That's what they were trying to award her. And she said, I don't even want the court to open up and even discuss money anymore. Just, I want him to have the kids half the time, and everything is just, you know. And I was like, wow. You know why? Every time we did a child exchange, when those boys saw me, they went freaking bananas. They would scream, and they would jump, and they would run, and they would, that's my daddy. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. Mm-hmm. They would go hysterical. It was almost like I just came back from the war. They did it every single time we exchanged. I gave them back to the mother. They were glad to see her. Hi, Mom. They gave her a hug, and, you know, away they went. But when they saw me, they went bananas. And this time, I just took the kids back to their mother yesterday. This time, for the first time, I was taken back to, like, no, Dad, we don't want to go. We want to stay with you. They're daddy's boys.
Yep.
And every time they did that, she would get kind of misty-eyed and almost look like she wanted to cry because it was kind of beautiful. And she also saw, how can I separate these boys that I love so much from a man that they love so much? It wore her down. And she got over her anger and got over all the hens in her ear telling her how to do me a number. And she realized, why am I trying to teach him a lesson? All I'm going to do is ruin my kids.
Oh, you don't hit.
She backed off.
You don't hit another note. My daughter's the same way. And my daughter, when I do take her to her mother's house, she'll beg me to spend the night, at least stay long enough to where you put me to sleep. She'll do all this crying, don't want to go. She'll hold on to my neck. And then her mother even said the same thing. Well, she doesn't do anything that like that to when she's leaving me. I was like,
right.
Because it's just a difference. She understands that when she comes with me, mom, and I walk her. Yes. There's just a difference.
You've got a deeper voice. You're the big one. You're the daddy. And, you know, new research shows that after the age of three, after the child is weaned from the mother's breast, the father becomes the primary parent. I grew up with a mother and a father. I don't know when I caught my mother. I don't know if I ever have. But I caught my father all the time. My father used to say, my father told me, my father. When your father speaks, it's almost like the word of God. It's right under it.
Amen.
Your father has the authority.
And that's why you got to watch out for me and like myself.
If you run around quoting your mama, it's a little bit different. You know.
You are so right, and that's why I want to talk about this part of it as well. You brought up that idea of there's a study out there, and it shows that men who are single parents, and the number is smaller, it's a lot smaller, but men who are single parents raise better children by a 3-to-1 margin over women as far as when they contribute to society, they don't end up going to jail and all this stuff. And I was like, why is this information not used in courts? Why do men not bring this with them? That it shows that a man has not only the same capacity as you talked about, but in a lot of cases, better capacity, because there are certain things that men just don't do around their children when they get them. I see men who have children who do a better job of dating when they have the children than women do.
You know what? I have almost never seen a male or female raised by a single father that wasn't an exemplary person. Now, I can show you a whole bunch of people raised by a single mama that ain't nothing nice. 95% of the men in prison are the product of a single mother. 66% of the men in college have both their parents. So, you know, these girls in the stripper pole, they don't have great dads at home that they love to go and lay in their arms. I mean, come on. And so a father missing is a lot more critical than we realize. And the reason it happens so often, the world elite, there's like just a handful of like 13 major families that run all the world's wealth and their few little cronies. Their interest is in world population reduction. And by doing that, they hoard all the world's resources to ensure their prosperity. The way you do that, bad food, make people sick, remove the fathers, remove the heads, weaken the resolve of the family, put more people in jail. We went and occupied New York. They told us to go home. We went home. If this was 1970, we'd have tore that mother down.
Yep.
You know? But, you know, we have lost. We don't have that fight. Mama didn't teach me how to fight right. You know, but when they did that over in Egypt and over there in Greece, they tore those cities down.
Yeah.
Those are men over there. We're busy watching Dancing with the Stars in this country. But, you know.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying, that the men, especially the black men, they're not even fit to lead, because it's not because they're bad men. It's because they were raised to be bad men. You took the venom out of the cobra. When you have a woman telling you what to do for the first 21 years of your life, or 18, if you're lucky enough to get out at 18, then when you grow up, a woman's voice is, as you said, a boy is to his father when he hears his voice. A woman's voice becomes the voice of God. That's why most men we don't look for other men's validation for our manhood. We look to women to validate our manhood. Have you noticed that?
I call them mama made men.
Yep.
You know, that's exactly what they are, you know. And if a woman wants to trust her life to a mama made man, I mean, yeah, I guess it could work sometime, you know, but there has to be somewhere, ask some questions, find out if there was a central male figure in his life for a good portion of it. If he didn't have a father, we can't fault him for that. Find out about grandfathers, uncles, at least a significantly older brother who was doing something positive with his life. Find out about stepfathers. Did the mother have a boyfriend for like 8-9 years who was a really good man? How about a great pastor or a good coach? Somebody.
Yeah.
Figure out, ladies, figure out somewhere, where did he get the man in him from? Because if the only man he has in him came from his mother, his grandmother, his auntie, and them, you're going to come up short, girlfriend. And the reason women are attracted to thugs, they're the only things that even act like a man. These other ones are too soft.
Yep. The hyper-masculine man.
It's mainly under 35. That's when the change happened. That's right after the
feminism movement hit, and then those kids were about 15 years, they were about 15 years after the feminism movement, when the divorce rate and the wedlock birth rate had skyrocketed. And they're the first ones that grew up without fathers in significant numbers.
Jeez.
So 35 or 36 is about where the line is. I'm born in 1959. I'm the last group that had fathers. In 1966, 90% of the African-American homes, 90% had a black father there on duty. Now, today, like 46, 47 years later, by the time these kids are 18, over 90% will not have their father in the home in the major urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still going to be down to, what, 6%? I mean, that's ridiculous. No group of people in the history of the earth, ever since the beginning of time when God made Adam and Eve, has any group of people had so few fathers. And we wonder what the problem is? Are you kidding me? Why in the world do you think God made part A need part B to create life? It takes two to make them, it takes two to raise them. You get completely different lessons, completely different instructions from a father and a mother. When you see a father and a mother together, you learn how to be a father and a husband or a mother and a wife. How do you figure that out sitting in a broken home with you and your mom and sister? How are you supposed to figure out how to lead a woman when you never see it? It doesn't even make fundamental sense.
Well, I got to get your opinion on this then. Last May, Hallmark's Mahogany Connection.
I know all about them.
They decided, the Mahogany Collection decided to, which is, one, the mahogany is supposed to be geared towards African-Americans. They put out those Mother's Day cards. They put out the Father's Day cards. And this was in, June. Then they put out the Father's Day cards. And the Father's Day cards were directed towards the mothers. And no one had a problem with that. What do you think?
Happy,
what did you think about
Father's Day to my mother? You're my father and my mother and my blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something, ladies. Ain't near one of you never going to get no Father's Day card from me. I don't care if you stand on your head, put on men's underwear, and put on a hard hat and work in a construction site. You ain't never going to be nobody's daddy. You're a double dose of mama, but you ain't nobody's daddy. And how dare you stand in front of your male child and tell him that you're his father and his mother? He's supposed to look at you with breasts and no penis hanging down and see you as a father? Are you kidding me? You know how debilitating that is emotionally and psychologically?
But why don't black women even see that there had to be a problem that they directed this towards you? They knew they couldn't get away with that in other communities.
Because we're brainwashed, and now a lot of women are like, I don't need no man. I'm all my child needs. Well, your boys are thugs in and out of jail, and your girl's in a stripper pole, and she has three babies by three different men just like you. And you're proud because you raise your kids all by yourself. Well, look at what you raised. Are you proud of that?
Yep.
Are you proud of going to visit your son like every other week, you know, after you take a long bus ride? That's what you're proud of. You've got to be kidding me.
But my mother got mad at me. Let me tell you, and I'm like you, I'm an open book. My mother got mad at me because she didn't like one of the shows that I did when I was talking about single mothers can't raise quality men. And she said, I think I did a good job of raising you. I said, let me point something out to you. Two of the three sons that you raised still live in the house with you. You got a 40-year-old and an almost 30-year-old that still live in the house with you, and you somehow still think you did a good job.
Right. But didn't you have your father in your life, too?
Well, I had a stepdad, and I paid attention to my stepdad. It's like what you said. I paid attention.
Okay,
I was the only one.
See, that's the magic word.
I had my dad in my life, but my dad was, like, real strict, and he had another family. My mom was the side chick. I don't mind admitting. My mom was the side chick to my dad. My dad raised my twin brother, and my twin brother's a manly man. He got one. My mama got one.
All right. So see, now that all makes sense, you have a twin brother, and twins are usually, twins are usually competitive with each other to a certain degree. And your father, you knew who he was, and even if you didn't spend much time with him, you still had a gold standard and a certain level of respect. But what you had was a stepfather. And I'm listening to you talk, and every once in a while when you interject how, you know, your mother raise you. That's not true. Women always want to say that they raised the son and completely ignore the new man that they marry, like he's not there, because it's not the biological father. That's a lie. As long as there's a male figure there for the boy to look at, then that's what he's modeling himself after.
That's true.
And even a lot of male children don't recognize that. They even buy into that because it's been so ingrained in them. It's like, I did have a father. He was that guy. That's
You're
where
right.
I got my manhood from. And don't be ashamed of that. No, Mama, I didn't. You didn't raise me. He did.
Yeah, I always wondered why she
him.
Was immediately wanting to cut. Why she was immediately wanting to cut him out when he had been in my life since I was six. Why does he get no credit?
That's your daddy, right? Dude, that's your daddy. You didn't have to come out his penis for him to be your daddy. A father is a figurehead. A father is a position. That was your father, as far as teaching you your man values.
Yeah, so that really makes it weird now that she got mad about single mothers because she was. But I told her, I said,
she wasn't
a single mother.
She wasn't a single mother. Some women don't even realize when they're not a single mother. Just because you're not with your child's father and you have a new man does not make you a single mother.
Damn, you're getting deep on this right now.
It means that you went and got a replacement father, and you're now a married woman with a husband and a child. You have a husband, you have a child. Guess what? It's a family.
I'm rarely speechless on my show, but when you're able to tell me something about me and able to express something, and I'm sitting here listening, and I'm just in awe of I've never heard that. As a black man, I've never heard someone say what you said, which is, why are we not giving any male figures any credit in the grooming of this male child? Why does he? And there'll be married people. When you look at even Shaq always credits a lot of who he is to his mother. And his mother married this guy when Shaq was like two.
Right, and that's the one he played basketball with, not his mama.
Yes. But
we're brainwashed that way. And even the kids that grow up and make it all the way into their 40s and 50s never decode it. I don't get it. It's like, did you not see this man every day you woke up in your cognitive memory? How do you think that you didn't have a daddy? How do you think that you're from a broken home with a single mother? And she's married.
Gee. How do we get out of this? All right, Tim, you done showed me something. You done caught me speechless and made me have to go back on a lot of my shows and say, well, I might need to make some correction. How do we get out of this?
Get me on more radio shows and a lot of television so I can say it loud. A lot of people know here.
I agree.
That's
the one thing I do is support men when they're in position to influence other children. Because even you're in the position to influence other young boys who look at you and hear you right now talk about how you fought for your custody, how you didn't lay down like a dog. Because most men that grew up with, like myself, we saw men lay down like a dog.
Right. And we just have it came out of their body, so it's theirs. And we take whatever time we get and fork over the money. Here's something else you got to understand, man. Guess what? When you get 50-50 custody, nobody pays. 50-50 custody, unless there's a dramatic difference in income, if it's anywhere near about the same amount of money, when you have them, you take care of them and feed them. When she has them, she takes care of them and feeds them.
I like it. Now, and this is another thing that happened, and it shocked me when I saw the guy from what's the show, American Idol, Randy Jackson. Well, Randy Jackson, he has 50-50 custody of his child, too. And the mother went out on the news circuit. You know how they go on the news circuit when they want to garner up support. And she called him a deadbeat dad. But here's the thing. He has 50-50 custody. He pays all of the child's medical expenses. He pays all of for the child's private school. And any expenses that she shows him as far as receipts that goes towards the child, he pays all of that, but she still was allowed to call him a deadbeat. Think about it.
Based on what? What's your problem?
because she doesn't get a check. Like I did my video called Child Support versus Host Support. Most of the money that you're giving to these people is not going for that child. When you giving 30 grand a month, 20 grand a month, or like Chris Bosh's baby's mama was saying she's broke because all he gives her is $2,700 a month, there are people who support four kids on $2,700 a month, and she's saying she can't support one child, and she lost her job, and somehow they now eating government cheese but still getting $2,700 a month. And he pays for all of the child's clothes, all of the child's medical bills, all of the child's schooling. But she still went on the circuit getting women's sympathy saying he should be paying her 30 grand a month. How are they able to pull sympathy from people in these situations?
Because they have vaginas. And I know that sounds crass, but it's something about being a woman, you know. You're equal, you're strong, can't no man tell you nothing. Blah, 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 what you going to do, hit me, you know, you can't do nothing, I make more money. Everything is cool until they get divorced or have a child and they want to get money. And they're this poor, weak victim thing and you're not handling your business and poor them. It doesn't make any sense, you know, and it's just not fair. If you're going to be equal, then, you know, go out and be down. Go do you. You know, but don't come need me. And they feel like a baby is supposed to, especially if they get lucky enough to have them with a man that has money, it's supposed to make their whole life easy. How much does your half of the baby cost? Okay, you got one infant, and you got a one-bedroom apartment, or maybe you got a two-bedroom apartment. Now, you live there, so let's put most of that on you. How much extra does that one child cost? A little bit of food, some diapers. I know what it costs to have a baby. You can add it up. There ain't a baby around that's going to cost you more than $800 a month. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's being fairly, that's feeding really good and getting the best Pampers on earth. I mean, you know, I mean, how much does your half of the baby cost? So if the baby costs $800, that means I should be giving you about four of it.
Bam.
That's 50% of my DNA and 50% of your DNA. I'm not going to pay for your 50% of the baby's DNA.
That's what most men are doing. Most men in your position, they've been asked to pay for everything that it takes to take care
every
of that child.
Every molecule. They pay for every molecule. And then they yep. pay for the molecules that the woman's mother and father made.
And it's funny, I like how you brought up, well, the women's lives and the women's movement and feminism was supposed to say make them equal, yet I've never seen a woman on a construction site do as much work as a man did, and if he allowed that woman to do as much work, they'll call him a punk. Let me just point this out. In Colorado, these ladies are calling this one man a punk because he grabbed one of his kids and ran out because they say he didn't save the woman. There have been four stories of men who got shot jumping on top of their women to save the women. There hasn't been not one story about women that jumped on their man and saved him so he can go on and marry somebody else and raise their kids. Why not?
Right. And even though statistics show that he'll do a better job.
Yes, what I'm saying.
As a parent. So, yeah.
So the one guy who took his child and said, I'm hearing gunfire, I'm not in the military, so I'm not going to run towards it, I'm going to run away from it, he got called a punk. Yet they ain't called
no,
none
he
of those.
Was a hero. He was a hero. He saved his child. He was
Thank
a hero.
You.
But, you know, I know it's not going to go down well with a lot of women, but it's funny. But you know what? The women are so equal. Next time you're laying up in bed and you hear a noise downstairs, you go see who the burglar is. I did it last four times.
Well, think about this, Tim. You could be dating a woman right now who's you could be dating Tracy Edmonds. She's huge, got all money all kind of places. But if you go on a first date, you still expected to pay for it. How is that
right?
We're equal people.
Now, we just had a fight. We've been fighting for 4.5 hours tonight. We laying in the bed mad, and I ain't getting none. And there's a noise downstairs. Now you want me to go get it. After you just got to tell me about how I can't tell you nothing and how you're equal and you're strong and blah, 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 blah. Well, then get your strong butt up and go see about the burglar.
That's it. Tim, we want to make sure the people understand what the show topic is and make sure they understand. We're talking about the bitter part of us men because us men are united. We got to, one, at some point, stand up and say, if you want equality, then fine, we'll give it to you. But if you want chivalry, then you got to give up something. There's a give and take and a negotiation. And
exactly.
We want to be men. We want to be fathers. So stop trying to run the men that actually want to be fathers out of their dadgum kids' life. But we also want to talk about, Tim, how do we get to the point where we feel as strongly as we do feel about men's rights, but not get bitter? How do you walk that tightrope?
Well, let me finish one other point which I want to bring it home on. Now, with all that machismo, macho stuff I was talking, that's not what men really want to do. We want to love and protect our women. We want to baby them. We want to beat people up for them. We want to pick up all the heavy stuff. We want to take out the trash can. And we want to be, the good men do, not these little mama raised losers, but the good men want to be the men that you actually want, that you won't allow us to. You're too busy telling us you don't need us. You're too busy telling us we can't tell you anything. You're too busy telling us how strong you are. I'm not impressed when a woman tells me how strong she is. In fact, if I want somebody else strong, I go get with another man. He's stronger than you. If I want strong, I'm the strong one. Don't try to encroach up in my territory and breathe the air that I breathe. I'm the king gorilla up in this mug, you know. So let's play our role. We have genitalia that is male and female for a reason. There is a gender difference connected to the genitalia. We have testosterone versus that other stuff, estrogen.
They got an estrogen. You know? They run. And that estrogen, I mean, they need to understand
real.
What that estrogen is doing. The estrogen makes you emotional. The estrogen does all of that stuff. What happened to women being proud of being women? I think that's lost. They don't want to be women. They want to supplant men.
They're trying to get masculine, and the men are getting feminine. So now we have this blurry thing in the middle because we're out of gender purpose.
Yep.
Men are not being men, and women are not being women. And we have this blurry thing in the middle, and God help us all, because who's running what? And we swing it back and forth, whatever way is convenient. And now you women, because you're single mothers, because you laid up with the wrong man a few times and have all these wrong guys' babies and have a whole collection of them, you're now training your daughters. Everybody got a different last name. They got five different names, and mailman's all confused. It's like, wait, Johnson and Smith? We got a Carlton, and what's the other one? Oh, John, okay. And the mailman's like, it's hard to keep up with all this. Before, I used to just drop in one name, and that was it. But anyway, so because we have all this going on, women train their daughters to one day grow up and be these independent women, because one of these days you're going to grow up and some no-down, no-good, dirty loser like your father is going to get you pregnant.
Yep.
You got to raise that baby by yourself, so you make sure you know how to get your education. You make sure you can raise your family. And they don't teach their boys. Not. They cut their meat for them until they're 18. So now here's this little mama-raised fool walking around the world that she done unleashed because she didn't pick a good father, and no child has ever, ever picked their own father. That is solely the responsibility of the mother to do. So if your children have a collection of bad fathers, then guess who was always there laying underneath them? It was you.
Mm-hmm.
And now
you
teach
them accountability. Don't nobody want to hear that.
Now these kids are mad and hate their fathers because you told them to. And here they are, 11 years old, talking about how you never gave their mother the child support check. What's all that got to do with them? You ain't supposed to be sharing all that stuff and getting them all salty against their father. So now they don't like their father. Now here I am. I'm 18 years old. I got a 3-year-old little sister and blah, blah, blah. I never look around and say, wait a minute, mama, how come all four of us got different last names? And I'm 18 and you still making new ones?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never see their mother as a part of their problem. They only see her as a victim of all these men. But now they get up, they don't know who's walking out the bedroom in the morning, but they never see her as a part of the problem.
Because she has their ear. As long as the mother has their ear.
She has a home court advantage. And so she got into them emotionally and played the victim role so long, they buy into it. So now she raised her daughter to be strong, hasn't taught her son nothing. So after she complained about how no good men are, then guess what she unleashed on the world? A no good man. Guess what he does? Expects a woman to take care of him. Guess what he does? he has a baby and walks away because his father did, and all he knows is, I'm grown, my mama raised me, so guess what you can do? You can raise that. It ain't my problem.
And we're setting it up
and
from day one.
That's what they're teaching. That's what they're teaching. And it's a circular, you know, revolving door of pain. That is the only thing that boy has ever learned from his mother, how to be nothing, because she didn't teach him how to be a man. And that is why when a woman says there are no good black men, they're right, but it's their own sisters that are making them. They're becoming no good black men baby-making factories.
Oh, man. And that's what the thing that bothers people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're here live with my man, director, writer, producer, Mr. Tim Alexander.
Who, by the way, is not better.
No, he's not here in the studio. He's on the line with me. But
I was saying, who, by the way, is not bitter.
Oh, that's what we want to say, and here's what we want to bring it home with, Tim, and you do a better job of saying things than me. We want to bring it home with trying to get people to understand. I think I do a good job because people, once they come, they say, wait a minute, he's not bitter. He's bitter at the fact that we are putting what you just said, a bunch of no good men in society. He's bitter at the fact that I got to compete against a no good man. He's bitter that he has to actually. Why I keep losing to dudes that you keep saying you don't like? This makes no sense.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is trying to set an example of saying, look, if you do have good men out there, why not prop those men up? The men who have the qualities that you claim you're looking for, stop propping up the ones who don't. But for some reason, we have this, again, we have fathers being given the blame who were never there, yet the mothers who were there 24/7 get none of the blame for what she produces, which is weird to me. If you say his daddy wasn't there, you was there with him 24 hours, and he turned out to be a thug, that would be your fault, not the lack of a dad. I can't blame the lack of something. I got to blame the presence of something at a certain point in time. But we're not bitter people.
It's the same thing they do with their kids. They take the worst kid that they have in the bunch, and that's the one they give everything to. All their resources go to that one. And the one who's trying to be good and responsible, they don't get nothing except a hard time, you know, in so many cases. But, you know, we have to really work to fix these things. And the women, men didn't have a movement in the 60s to be free from nothing. And men didn't have a sexual revolution. Women did. And that changed the face of the family from that moment on. And, you know, if you hear passion in my voice, no, I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I'm the same guy that wrote that lovely letter to my ex-wife after she tried to take my kids from me maliciously.
Amen.
I'm not bitter. What you hear is my frustration at watching this cycle of stupidity and ridiculousness continue. I'm tired of watching good women love bad men. I'm tired of seeing children being destroyed because of the choices of their mothers.
Let me ask you this, Tim. You have children the same age as mine. Don't you look at them? Because what brought me on this path was the fact that I said, if I raise my daughter right, I'm still going to put her out there in a world where her choices of men that are worth a damn are very small. So even if I raise her right, she's going to end up with one of these knuckleheads. Do you fear that? And that's kind of why you do what you do, because you look at your sons and you're like,
exactly,
if I raise them right, they're going to run into a bunch of knuckleheads.
I say all the time, I've got four-year-old sons. Who in the world are they going to date in 20 years? Imagine 20 years worse. These little things growing up ain't going to be nothing nice. So, yes, that freaks me out. That is exactly the reason I fight. I'm trying to fix some part of the world so my kids can grow up in it.
I tell people all the time, our generation's lost. Our generation's gone. And the kids behind us, don't you understand that those are 80s babies? Them crackhead babies. 80s babies, those are crackhead babies.
Well, not everybody's smoking crack, but yeah, there's a lot of crackhead babies in the bunch. But
no, that's
there's also
a
lot of babies.
We got a lot of them in society now. From when the crack era took over a lot of the hood,
that's good stuff. But even the middle class and upper class isn't, you know, in a lot of cases doing a lot better. Because instead of being crackhead babies, those are iPod babies and iPhone babies and you know, babies that you give an iPod to and say, here's a $50, $100 gift card. Go download some music. And you're stupid behind never listening to see what they got. And they're listening to Lil Wayne and Waka Flocka Flame say the most vile stuff they can possibly fix their mouth to say. And you know what? When those rappers are rapping that garbage, you know who they're talking about? the 16, 17-year-old mother, the first woman they saw. A man
Thank
raised
you.
By a father, he can't rap that garbage. He ain't going to open his mouth to say that kind of foolishness. When these rappers are talking all that filthy stuff, they're talking about the first woman they saw and her girlfriend. And rappers always talking about they keeping it real. They keeping it real right out of their own house.
Damn.
That's where they got that stuff from. You.
Yeah. Tim just got deep again. He said, y'all
look
might not know.
Look at all these rappers' mamas. Go look at Lil Scrappy mama. Look at all these little rappers' mamas. Look at Walker Flocka Flame. Look at all their mamas. Look at them.
They mamas off the chain. Look at Dez Bryant's mama. This woman been arrested 16 times in her life. How your mama
That's
been arrested?
That's what they're rapping about. They're rapping about their mothers.
That is so deep because what you're explaining is black men will find a way to get their frustrations out. And if we can't say it directly, we start saying things subliminally and indirectly. And I believe you're 100% correct.
And guess what?
Happens,
the girls buy into it. Have you noticed the nastier the song, the more they get on the dance floor, the crazier they go? Because they're acting like they saw their mamas act. The rappers are rapping what their mothers did, and the girls are dancing what their mothers did. That's how they got here.
Jeez.
The mama was in some club and met some loser, and that's exactly why they're here. So, of course, they're going to dance to the nasty music.
That's what I was saying. I talk about it and your movie and what I say, and they say, well, you're bashing black women. And I keep thinking, first
I
off, Tim don't, he don't say nothing out of line, but you're still saying he bashing. Now, I cuss, and you just
I'm
use my language.
I love black women. I love
yes,
black women to death.
You're saying we're bashing them. But then you listen to Lil Wayne, who's calling you all kinds of bitches and hoes and saying that all you're good for is a one-night stand and the most degrading sex ever, but he can actually get you to spend $14 or $10. I don't even know how much CDs are these days because I don't buy them. You can spend your money on a CD. You can go to his concert. You can buy all this stuff when the person who's bashing you is like Tim said. He is.
And then you can wipe all this stuff out of your hair if you get close enough to him. You know, and it's like, I mean, come on. You know.
It's like when you want people to do better, don't you think I don't believe in fighting and losing battle, but it almost seems like we are fighting an uphill battle because people have gotten so used to being poo-pooed on. People have gotten so used to being in their mess that when you point the mess out, again, you pointed out earlier that that's why churches are not trying to tell people that they're in mess because they know there'll be a mass revolution. 70% of all black
membership
deal with black women.
The membership will reduce. Most of them are women. And the membership will reduce so that they're trying to keep their numbers up because the economy is rough for the church, too.
Yep.
The last thing they want to do is tell you to pull your skirt down and stop looking like a hoe when you come to church. The last thing they want to do is tell you to stop wearing that see-through dress so when you walk through the front door and the light shines on the ground, everybody can see all through your drawers.
Ooh.
You know, the
last thing they want to tell you is you got tattoos on your neck and arm and yet you're still wearing a dress to show it off
and
you got a big tattoo.
Dude, here's a good one. I went to this church. I promise you. I went to this church and I'm sitting there and the pastor's wife is up singing and she's moving all around and I'm like, she's kind of moving a little hoochie, but anyway, that's the pastor's wife. Okay, that's all good. You know, she's maybe, you know, 45, 42, something like that. Then all of a sudden, they call for one of the elders of the church. Dude, they called up Elder Tamika, about a 33-year-old black girl with tattoos on. Elder Tamika came up and did a little bit. Then they called for Elder Rashida. Then they call for Elder Jocelyn. Dude, they have four female elders in the church and the pastor's wife, and then the pastor gets up and says his little spiel and then sits down, and then the elders take over. What the what? Elder who? A church full of 30-year-old female elders? Are you kidding me?
Most churches look like harems to me. Let's just be real. When you walk in most churches, it doesn't look like it look like a harem. There's a one man, and then like I said, there are a whole bunch of in the black community. Think about how many black women are pastors at churches in black community.
How are you gonna go to the elder in church if she's a single tattooed up mama? The elders of the church are single tattooed up mamas. Where are you supposed to get wisdom out of that?
And when people say that we're against black women, we're actually for scripture. Scripture says it is a man's job to lead. So why would we not want to go back to what scripture is saying? If you build a better black man, and I tell black men this all the time, look, if you are a man and you lead, a woman will have to follow. They will feel more comfortable following, because I tell people this. For as much as people say they hate me, notice that it's more women following me than it is following you. Why? Because they've never heard a man stand up and say, I'm not going to be pushed away. I'm not going to be pushed down. And that's exactly what happened to you, Tim, during your divorce. When a woman saw a man be a man, she backed up.
Yeah. Well, I made it clear that this fight would no, there's no way I wasn't getting 50% of the time with my kids. It never even crossed my mind there was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That just wasn't
and it's not, and it's nothing wrong with standing up and stating your ground. We do the same thing with our children. People understand we don't try to be tyrants to our kids, but there are times when we have to stand up and be their parents. We can't sit there and be their friends and actually think that you can raise a good child. It's the same thing of being a husband, whether you're going through a divorce or going into a marriage. Sometimes you have to stand up and exert your manhood, because if you don't, you will constantly be getting ran over. And that's why I love what you said about the boys being raised in homes with women. There's a time in which they really can't be beaten anymore. The only time they'll get beat is if they allow it, when it's by a woman. But you and I know, when we've had uncles or whatever it was, father, when they say something, we still know they had that old man strength, and we didn't want to get beat up, so we back down.
Right.
The thing is, how do we get past, and that's what I want you to end it with. I'll give you the last 5 minutes. How do we get past the point of where we get this frustration? How do you move on? How do you move to the next step and not worry about? Because if I was you, like, I know me, I would never date another woman. Just me, and I know it might be difficult to find. I just would never date another woman with kids, because I know it's more difficult than it's not. I would never date a woman that's been married and divorced, because typically once you do something once, it's easy to do it again. And I've noticed the statistics prove a woman who's been divorced once is more likely to be divorced again, because she's been through the process before, doesn't really bother her again. It's the same thing with the first time you give a man head. It's kind of easy for a woman to do it again. How do you
go forward?
How do you go forward without being bitter?
I was never there to be mad at that person. I have just as much grace as I do fire. I'm looking for what is the most peaceful resolution after all the smoke clears. My life has so many more facets to it than to sit around being mad at somebody for years and years and years and wanting to punish them and get back at them. I'm just not that immature. That's partially due to the fact I was raised by a man. Now, my parents were not a perfect match, not by a long shot. But what my father taught me is you stay there and you make it work. I also learned what's worth fighting for and what can I just say, hey, it means more to her than it does to me, so hey, whatever. Just let it slide. I'm a man. The Bible said that she's a weaker vessel. It wasn't just talking about physical strength. Emotionally, she's also weaker. So, you know, my thing is, I didn't get involved with you to not like you. So that's not my end goal, no matter what happens. I'm not enemies with any woman I've ever dealt with. That was never my intention. I'm just not that immature. Now, when you have a childish man, he is very much that immature. He has to not like you because you're not with him anymore, and vice versa. That's more of a womanly way of dealing with things. I'm a man. You know, so the Bible says, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. You know, if I'm with you, I'm with you. If we're not, okay, we're not, but I'm good. You know, I don't hate you. I love you. And there's a part of you that will always be special. I just don't want to be with you anymore. Or we're just not together anymore, whatever the case is. So it was never about holding a grudge. And what we have to do as a people is we have to realize that when we bring children into the world, it's really about them. And we're putting too much emphasis on ourselves and being selfish and fighting over petty things and using the children as weapons to teach each other a lesson and abusing our children and just doing everything except the right thing. And what we have to do is exercise love, get into God's word, and realize that we, ourselves and us, are actually our own biggest problem. You have one set of choices, one set of values, and one set of genitals that you're responsible to control. If you can control that one little silly person, which is yourself, when you fix yourself, everybody around you magically gets better. Whenever you're having a conflict, with anybody, guess what? You're always there. Either you're picking the wrong person, or usually you're being the wrong person.
Damn.
And what you got to do is fix you and stop worrying about everybody else.
That's deep. That is deep. Let me tell you, we're about to run up against our 10 o'clock break. There's a lot of people who wanted to talk. I know I've taken a lot of your time. I don't know if you have any time to be able to stay past the 10 o'clock break, but we're going to go to that break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about this bitter, being bitter, and then how can we get better. A lot of people want to talk. You think you might be able to stay a little bit after the break?
Yeah, I'll hang out. I've got a couple of phone calls to make during the break, and I'll hang out.
All right, good deal.
So,
what we're going to do is...
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to the break, and we're going to come back with Tim Alexander. We're going to take some of you guys' phone calls. You guys know what happens. Somehow, sometimes at the 10 o'clock break, it sometimes hang up on you. If it does, just call right back in, people. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know what this is. Come on, play like you know. Play like you know. We'll be right back with your phone calls, 347-989-8310. This is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on Internet radio, with your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Keep it.